And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this Wednesday, December 18th, 2013. I'm Joe Hagman, your co-host, along with my father, Doug Hagman, who will be joining us shortly, within 10 to 15 minutes. He's stuck out there in the snow. He's just running a little late. He'll be with us just in a few. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Mr. Nathan Liao will be joining us tonight for the show, and we have a lot we are getting into. Mr. Liao's website, watchmanscry.com. You can go there and check out all the audio, the links to updates from prophecy alerts, dreams and visions, sermons, messages. He has a forum on his website. Fantastic job he does at keeping up with this. And it's going to be a great show tonight as we get into so much of what is in the Bible, what we are seeing being fulfilled in these last days, the Bible prophecy that is coming to life right before our eyes. And we've had a lot of guests on the show, you know, the last few weeks, the last few months, and each person brings, you know, a piece. We talk about this, a piece to the puzzle, and a different perspective. And what Mr. Liao has to say is very important, very timely, and the dreams and visions that are given to him by the Lord are stunningly accurate, as it is written on our promo at HomelandSecurityUS.com for tonight's show. Mr. Liao has been on the program at least 5 to 7 times this year, and so many things he's talked about from dreams and visions he's had have come to fruition. From the train derailments, and there's so much more. I could read from my notes from each show. It is eye-opening, to say the least. And in a period in history where the public understanding and comprehension is at an all-time low, as deception is at an all-time high, we don't get a lot of the truth. And when I say the truth, I mean the Lord, His Word, how it pertains to what we're seeing in the world events today. That is covered up by the news. They will send you in every direction except what is the answer, what explains why we see the things going on we do, which is what the prophets explained, what Jesus explained as the signs of the times before his second coming, before the tribulation, the time of the latter days. And with that, I'm going to bring on Mr. Liao right now. Nathan, it's glad to have you back on. And we have a lot of interesting and exciting things to get into tonight.
Oh, man, Mr. Joe. Yeah, we do. And you and I have been talking and discussing things off the air. It's been about a month, I think, since I was on. And in that interim, a lot of things have happened. There's been several messages that have been incubating in my heart and my spirit, and tonight I'm going to share some things that I have not shared even on my program, so we're going to hear it and discuss it here first, so I'm really excited about tonight.
Yeah, we are always feel blessed to have you on, and you have been on several times this year, and I'm going to throw out some dates here for people who want to go back and listen to some of these shows. January 10th, February 17th, May 2nd, May 30th, September 18th, and October 25th. And those are just the ones I could find, you know, scrolling through real fast. I would urge people to go back and listen to those shows, as there is so much insight, prophetic insight, and unique insight, and accurate insight as to what is happening in our world today. And as I was saying, the media, the governments, the evil of the world, the evil influences of the world, are working overtime to make sure people do not understand what is happening. People do not, they are moving people through manipulation, through deception, away from the true answers, from the word of the Lord, and will go to great lengths to try to explain away a lot of what is happening and a lot of what we see. But our world is at a dangerous point. I mean, we are at the most crucial time in all of human history. The prophets wrote that, you know, they longed and yearned to live in these times that we live in, to see these times. And we are seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled so rapidly right in front of our eyes. And at the same time, we have the satanic influence working diligently, working overtime to pull believers away. And one of the things that really bothers me, Mr. Leal, is the churches, the people in the churches. It seems like there is, aside from the deception and manipulation of people, people in the churches have a lack of drive or motivation to seek answers for themselves. And when I say answers, I mean reading the scriptures, praying for the understanding. And this is something we got into, you know, we were talking before the show about how it's an adventure, a treasure hunt, to go through the Bible and to find these little nuggets and tie them together with other scriptures and with what the Lord said while he was here on earth. And it is not boring. It is not something that people should dread, yet so many just refuse or won't, don't have the drive to search for the answers themselves. And in a time where, in Isaiah, it talks about, you know, building our faith on the precepts of the Lord, not the precepts of men, I think we should be extra diligent in doing that ourselves. But not to bring down anybody, I just think it's a huge problem, the lack of care, the lack of sight. It seems like people are blinded and don't understand that we are living in these times, or don't care that we are living in these times. And I'm speaking of the people who believe in God. It's troubling.
Indeed, Joe. And, you know, this has all been prophesied. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, when it had the prophecies about Mystery Babylon, some of the things that were going to be occurring in Mystery Babylon are of a spiritual nature that have to do with what you're describing right now, the great deception. It says in Jeremiah 50, verse 6, "My people have been a lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and turned them away on the mountains." And then there's some other passages in 50 and 51 that talk about the slumber and the tiredness, that the people would be asleep during the very time of the end. But also at the same season, this is what is exciting, Joe, in Jeremiah 51, verse 12, it said, "Set up a standard on the walls of Babylon, make the guard strong, set up the watchman." So in the end times, there's even a prophecy that God is going to raise up his voices to shout the alarm, to sound the alarm, to try to awaken the people. And God is sending forth his Holy Spirit and compelling those that have that little seed of faith within them, and God is bringing those people back. There's a lot of individuals right now, Joe, and this is my passion. There are a lot of people that have lived for several decades. Maybe they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or they're even older, and maybe they started out with a great zeal for God several decades ago, but then things happened in their life. They fell away, they stumbled, they backslid, and they're now wandering. God wants them back, Joe. And listeners, everyone listening tonight, God loves every one of you. And if you may be struggling, God wants to help you in your struggle. God wants to send victory. And, Joe, that's my passion. As long as he allows me to be up on this wall, that's going to be my assignment, is to compel those that are lost and wayward, because I have a compassion for the backslider, and God loves them. And that's what the remnant is going to be made up of, a lot of wounded, broken and hurt people, but God's going to bring them back, restore them, and get us ready for a soon return to come back.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, go to Nathan's website, watchmanscry.com, and listen to his latest audio sermon, the Overcomer series. I listened to this today, and it was so well done. And I really like the intro. Is that your son that you had on the doing the intro for
you?
Yeah,
that's my second born.
That's awesome. sounds like a smart young man. And the message in that, the Overcomer series on WatchmansCry.com, it was very touching. And, you know, it made me think a lot. I had to pause it and stop, and I was taking notes, and it was very inspiring and insightful, yet at the same time it offered so much too when you got into the Revelation chapter 12 about overcoming, what we are called to do and how we overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, those who love not their lives unto death, and Revelation 12:11, and this is what you were talking about in this audio clip, and how we do this. And it was a message of hope and a message of charity and gratitude. And it was I just want to thank you for doing that, because you know, we see so many people that will put together theories about different issues pertaining to Bible prophecy, yet so many leave out the salvation aspect and what that entails, as they, you know, want to just hit an agenda or a certain audience. But you really covered this fantastic. I mean, you did a great job with this.
Well, thank you, Joe. And that's going to be the very beginning of an ongoing series, and that's what my theme is going to be for a while. It's going to be called the Overcomer Series for the listeners that haven't been on my website. That's part one, but I have probably 5 to 10 different parts that I've been seeking God about, and some of the things that I'm going to share are going to be the result of many notes that I have been taking in prayer sessions when I've been seeking God over the past few years, when he's been sharing with me some of the things that were going to be coming, and the time just wasn't right back then, but the time is now arrived for God's people to not only know about the things that are coming and the information of the darkness and the doom events that are coming. We need to know about that, but also we need to know how to stand above it, stand fast, and overcome. And that's going to be my series to bring hope, because a few weeks ago I received an email from a listener that said, Nathan, thanks for sharing about the Chinese vision you had and that the Russians and Chinese are going to invade America. And I believe you, Nathan, but this is the question I have. Now what am I supposed to do with this information? I know it's true, but I just don't feel like I'm ready. So that prompted me to really go into my prayer closet, and I said, God, you know, if this is just one response, how many others have this same response and have this on their hearts? And God confirmed that his entire remnant body has this concern in them. And one of the biggest concerns that they have is, you know, while people are sitting around, the awake ones, sitting around talking about the New World Order and discussing all the bad things that the Homeland Security is going to do and the TSA, et cetera, after they get home and they lay in bed and they consider their own spiritual condition, how many of them actually have to admit to themselves that they're scared and worried and they wonder, you know, I don't know if I can do this. It sounds exciting when I'm with my buddies, but when I get alone, I don't know if I can. And that's really the truth of the heart of God's people right now. Can we do it? Can we make it? Well, the answer is yes, but we need to get a hold of the right information, the right biblical, spiritual information, and so that's going to be my assignment for the next few months, and I'm excited about it, Joe.
Yeah, and like you were saying, you talked about this in the Overcomer series, the first part, about people asking you, you know, well, how, you know, we got to get physically, mentally, and spiritually prepared for what is coming, but, you know, how do we know if we're doing this properly? How do we know what to do? And you talked about the seeking out of our assignment, of our assignments. And my dad talks a lot about this, and he phrases it differently, you know, playing our positions, what we're called to do, what the Lord calls us to do. And the only way we can find out what the Lord's will for us is by, you know, asking him through prayer. And you know, we have to seek his will for us. We can't just go about doing what we want to do and we have to make a conscious decision to change and to dedicate ourselves to Him. And for some people, it is scary. You know, it is tough. And, you know, it was tough for me at first. And I just urge people, it is not, if you are on the fence with this, if you are struggling with getting into the Word, with, you know, getting back on track with the Lord, don't put it off. It is not anything that, it's such a relief when you have a relationship with the Lord. And this is from my personal experience, when you're disconnected, when you're not talking through prayer and reading in the Word and staying with Him, you really go a lot of places. I mean, so the backsliding to, you know, running down the wrong roads, wrong stories. But when you have the Lord and His grace and mercy in your life, it puts you in the right direction. He will do things in ways that we'll never understand till I don't think we get there. But it's just amazing how the Lord works, and I would just urge people not to delay, not to worry. It is nothing bad at all. It is actually so much more pleasant understanding when you're doing the Lord's will, not your own. You
Amen,
feel different.
Indeed. And you know, Joe, that those words are so true. Being away from God is being in a drought of our soul, of our spirit, being empty, feeling empty. It's miserable. And to step out of God's will and off the path is to step into nowhere, honestly. You know, without a light, without a lantern, a ship without a rudder, without a compass. And that's when it gets scary. And so as long as we develop our relationship, as long as the people listening make it their assignment to get to know God better, to get familiar with Him, to learn to hear His voice better, to get familiar with the Scriptures, they're going to be able to endure. And I know that that's easier said than done, because some people perhaps have been gone so long and they don't know how to get back. They don't even see the faint light in the distance, and they say, Nathan, how do I do this? Well, that's what I'm going to address. I'm going to address all of that information, that scenario. So listeners, please go there, subscribe to my messages, and you'll be able to get them as they come out. Now, Joe, tonight I have a lot of things that I want to share, and they cover a lot of categories, and I hope that there's enough time to cover all of them. If not, we'll have to do a different program. But my theme tonight, and this is what I named it, because when I was seeking God a few days ago, it was on Monday, the Holy Spirit said these words to me on Monday morning. He said the words, "The Great Reckoning is coming." And so that's what I named this program and the theme for tonight. It's about the Great Reckoning. And this is what is coming not only to the United States, but also to the entire planet. So if you have listeners outside the borders of the USA, this applies to them. It's going to be a reckoning, ladies and gentlemen, and this thing's going to play out in front of all of us. And in addition to the reckoning, we are also going to, and this is what I'm also calling the show tonight, the reckoning, fire, and fractures. And that's also what's going to be coming. I'm going to talk about this tonight, and I'm going to explain what I mean by those words, the reckoning, the fire, and the fractures. And I'm also going to talk about some coming events that have to do with the Middle East, the Muslims, the Nation of Israel, the coming Imam Mahdi, the fire of terrorist attacks, and coming war. And also about some events that are approaching America that have to do with another wave of judgment. And this wave has to do with a coming fracturing that is going to happen here within the borders of America. So if you're taking notes, and I want to encourage everyone to please do so, because I'm going to share a lot of things, but there's going to be a fracturing that's coming, and I'm going to talk about the fracturing, the fire, and also the reckoning. So many things are coming, so please try to follow along. And before I begin, Joe, I want to touch on something. I want to address something else. Now, for those people that are regular listeners to my program, or if you're on my email list, or you go to my website from time to time, I made a recent announcement about an ailment that I have. And I came forth and I shared it because I felt that it was time. And for those of you that don't know, or if you did read it and you've been wondering, if you have a lot of questions, you want to hear from me, well, I just want to just touch it real briefly tonight, Joe. But I am battling an autoimmune disorder that I have had since 2003, so I've had it for 10 years. In fact, I've had it before Watchman's Cry was even born. And it's called lupus, for those that aren't familiar with it. And I shared this. I've been holding back on it because I just didn't feel that it was time. But now I passed that juncture. It was time. My wife and I discussed it. And I asked her, and we discussed, should I go ahead and do it? So I did. And I typed up an announcement about it. It's on my website. And I believe, Joe, that in these end times, especially as times get more and more unsettled and as times are becoming more fearful and then people are becoming fearful and feeling less confident, I believe it's very important for God's watchmen and for his messengers to be transparent with the people. So that's why I shared it. And I want to say also thank you, listeners, for all of the encouraging emails that you sent. I received hundreds of emails, Joe, and the majority of them were very positive. And a lot of them included suggestions. If I didn't answer your email, listener, maybe I didn't get around to it or skipped. I tried. My wife and I both tried to answer every one of them. We read every one of them. There were a lot of suggestions, health suggestions. Many of them were well-meaning, so I want to say I appreciate that. And also, Joe, I have to say this also. Some of the emails were as I expected. They were judgmental and presumptuous, and they said things that I didn't even know how to answer, and I didn't even know how to address it. Some of them I had to delete because there were some that were accusatory. There were some that say you deserve it. God's punishing you. It's judgment on you because you did this or that. And, you know, Joe, when a person opens up and is transparent with the world on an ailment they had that possibly is going to kill them, what kind of boldness does it take to be rude and mean and to point fingers and, you know, dance on their grave and premeditated? I don't understand that. So I have, listeners, just so you know, I've had this ailment for 10 years. And some people that wrote me blamed the reason that I had it on things that they believed I did just recently. They said, you have bitterness against this person or that person, or you're mean, or you're not a good person, or et cetera. And you know, Joe, for the person that's not familiar with my ministry is dependent on hearing from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's my oxygen. I cannot go on the air. I cannot share anything if God hasn't given me the unction for it. So my passion is to be on my knees. And the only way, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that an individual is going to receive unction and hear God's voice is when they deal regularly with the issues of the heart, when they have a regular life of repentance, when they understand and know that we live in a fallen world and we live in Babylon and the sludge of Babylon gets on us. So we have to regularly keep our garments clean, and that has to be a regular thing, taking regular baths in the blood of Jesus and in the water of his word. And I do that, Joe. So to receive the things that God gives me, I mean, just think of this. Joe, God has given me some incredible insight. And I'm not saying this to toot. You know what? I don't care what people think. Now you know I have this disease. I'm not doing it for a personal agenda. You know, some people have made websites and said Nathan is only in it for his personal glory and agenda. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? When you have a foot in the grave, you don't care about personal agenda. You don't care about what people think of you. The only thing you care about is to making memories with your family, to love your kids, and to spend as much time that you can with them and in the presence of God. That's it. So I want to make that public, Joe, for the idiots out there that are full of Satan and would say things that would come against Watchman's Cry and lie and slander and say things that are untrue, that are fueled by Satan. God is going to hold them accountable because, see, first of all, they didn't know that I had this disease. So they were making these things up, accusing me of doing it for riches or for glory or for all this nonsense. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I have known for 10 years that at any given time I could receive the information from the doctor that my kidney's dying or my liver's dying and I only have so much time left. That's the truth. So my motivation, ladies and gentlemen, is to see the people of God get a hold of God and to come back, the backslider, because we're all going to stand before him someday. All of us are going to have our turn. All of us are going to have that time where we receive the information. If we don't see Jesus in the clouds, we're going to have our turn, however it happens. And the main objective that every one of us should have is to make sure that we are seeking to do everything we can to make sure we have fruit, to make sure that we don't have any bitterness, to make sure that we are following the statutes of God, and to do everything we can to please him, because we're going to stand before him someday. So, Joe, I know I'm passionate right now, but I'm sharing some things. I'm being totally transparent. Now, just for the record, I have not received any information from the doctors that tell me any of my organs are failing, but that's what lupus does. Eventually, if it doesn't come under control, it kills your organs. And a lot of lupus sufferers, eventually their liver gives out or their kidneys or it gets their heart or their lungs. That's the reality of this thing. It also attacks your joints, and since your immune system is attacking your body, you feel like you're getting sick every day. When you wake up, you feel like you're getting sick, and the fatigue that a normal person feels when they're fighting the flu, that's what it feels like every day. So there are days when I awaken and I get out of bed, and it's just so hard that I have to go back to bed. And for those of you that understand this kind of disease, you know what I'm talking about. But for those of you that wonder, and this is the other thing that I had to explain. For those of you that wonder, you say, Nathan, what's your next program? Well, I'm working on it in those moments of energy that I try to find and get a hold of. That's when I'm working on the messages. I have notebooks I keep by my bed, and I'm always writing. The Holy Spirit gives me things, but then I have to go and edit them, and then I have to record them and then edit them and build the website, et cetera. So that's the journey of my life, Joe. And Joe, you understand, I asked you before the program, how much preparation time do you place in your programs? And I was happy to hear what you said. You do your homework as well. And to bring about something that's quality for the people of God, that's our job, is to do our homework, to do our research, to dig, to pray, to get into the Bible, to get on the Internet and confirm intel or to find out if it's true or false, etc. That's the job of a watchman. So, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that wonder, is the job of a messenger from God full of glory and fun? Well, let me say this, and Joe, I'm sure you can confirm this. The job of a watchman is a job that no one in their right mind should ask for on purpose without the tools from God, because to do it in your own strength is impossible. Joe, would you confirm that?
Absolutely, Nathan, and I just want to let you know that you will be in our prayers, and that what you are explaining, and you were explaining this before we went on air, what the side effects are. I'm 30 years old. I struggle to find energy at times, and you know, God bless you for what you do, because I can't imagine having something that would take my energy away and have to do, you know, all the things that we do. And in your Overcomer series, you stated that, and this is something that made me smile, you said that, you know, more time you spend in the Word, the less shows you seem to do. The more time you spend with the Lord, you know, you're not doing shows as much. And I find, you know, the more time that I spend in the Word, it takes a while to get confirmation, to get understanding, to put the things together, and it is a process. And once again, you know, you will be in our prayers, and we're going to pray for the people who sent you emails ridiculing you, which is absolutely uncalled for, but it happens. And you know,
yeah, Nathan, Doug here. I don't know if I'm coming across all right. Is it sound all right or perfect?
Yeah,
Nathan,
I hear you, Doug. Hello.
All right, my friend. God bless you. I apologize for being late, but I just want to tell you we're 100% behind you. And you know, when I heard the news about your illness, I was really taken aback by this. And look, we're praying for you in anything whatsoever that we can do for you, my friend. You let us know. We're here for you. We're behind you 100%, and we're praying for you. We ask all of our listeners to pray for you, to anoint you with the supernatural healing, and just know, my brother, that we're 100% behind you.
Well, I appreciate that. I had some responses from listeners that had a product and here and there that they said, Nathan, you should try this. So there are a few things that I am trying. And for the record, I'm not doing any medication. I never have. So I'm off. I don't do any of that. I've received a lot of diet suggestions. And to a point, I am, and I always have been doing some of the diet suggestions. So just for the record, to let everybody know, my spirit is clean. I'm doing my homework, and the diet suggestions are being done too. So for the person that might ask, well, then, Nathan, don't you have enough faith? This is 10 years of prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Why does God do this? And that's one thing that I want to share. And I believe that possibly one of the reasons that God allows me, like, as one of his watchmen, and, you know, folks, I'm not the first one that's God's watchman to come under affliction and ailment. It seems that God allows many of his messengers to have some thorn in the flesh, and there's a reason for that, and it's because God wants us as his voices and his messengers to be able to communicate with the world, that with the people that are listening. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to know that you're not alone, and also God wants everyone to know that pain and affliction is a part of life. And the big question for all of us is, what are we supposed to do with the pain and the affliction that we have? So that is one of the objectives that I have, and my motivations is to come to terms with it, to understand it, and God has given me a lot of understanding. Over the years, like I said, I've filled up notebooks with understanding. I haven't shared it yet, but in this Overcoming series, I am going to be sharing some things about affliction that need to be shared. Now, I know that my health battle could be challenging, but I'm believing that God's going to leave me on this planet as long as it takes, and I have a lot of work to do. So I'm not giving up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm believing, Joe and Doug, I'm believing that God's going to give me years to fight this thing supernaturally, so that's what I'm going to take. So people with ailments, and especially ailments that eventually may get the better of them, understand that the perspective is always different when they have ailments. So that's what I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be talking about what the ailment can do, and ailments that can come to us, and affliction, how it can restructure our mindset and get our hearts back in line. Joe and Doug, I received hundreds of emails from people that said thank you because they themselves have afflictions. A lot of people have arthritis type affliction. They have chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, all these other autoimmune deficiencies that, you know, I have to ask, and Joe and Doug, you guys being right there in the front lines, I have to wonder, how is it that so many people, especially here in America, have these ailments that where their bodies are poisoning themselves? And I have to conclude that vaccines from the 1960s, when we were younger, have a big part of why this thing is happening, why in later life it's striking so many people. The vaccines that we didn't know about then, I didn't know about it. My mom just did it. It was in the 60s. But I believe the vaccines have a big role in why a lot of people are sick today. And I know that people will say, well, it's the weed, it's the GMOs. Well, that's a recent phenomenon. The vaccines have been around and been in our bodies long enough to do this poisoning to us. So if that's the case, can the effects be reversed? Well, that's one thing that I'm studying. But for some people that either they don't have the opportunity to find out how to reverse it, or maybe that's just not in their nature to research, and they're going to die with their ailments. And everyday people do die with their ailments. So we live in a fallen world, and the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is that affliction happens to all of us. And even though people might say they have faith, and they say, Nathan, don't you have the faith? Remember the faith movement several decades ago, the Word of Faith, Doug, remember what was the name, Bob Tilton and all those guys?
You just have
to confess and possess, you'll be healthy, all that.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
That mentality, I know that there's a huge segment of truth to it, but part of that has been manipulated and abused and twisted. But faith is real. Healing is real. So I do believe for it. So if God chooses to give me 15 more years like Hezekiah, believe me, Doug, I'm going to take it, and I want it. So in the years that I have, in the time remaining that I have, this is what I do know, because this is what the Holy Spirit has shown me, is that there are too many people wandering along the hedge. There are too many people that listen to your program and to my program, and they say that they're awake, but if they were to look at their spiritual scorecard, let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you that are listening really would have to admit that you're not confident in your scorecard, and perhaps you're a little bit too far away from the path, you're along the edge, and God wants you back. So that's the burning passion that I have. God even has a prophecy about that. He says, compel them from, that are on the highways and the hedges that are dwelling too far, compel them to come back in the end times for the big supper. So, Joe, that's what this is about. This calling is to get the people to come back, and I'm sure that you have the same passion and heartache for those that are away from God. And I'm sure that you've had a lot of guests that can also confirm that's what the bottom line is. Time is running out. And how much longer will people continue to goof off and think that they still have a few months or a few years before they take this thing serious? Ladies and gentlemen, we can't be thinking like that. Because the end times, by the way, and I want to mention this, I see the clock. I do plan to get to my message about the reckoning, but I also want to say this. There are many elements in the end times. There are many bullet points that when people read the end time books, most people can recite the main stars of the end times, the headliners, the people whose names are on the marquee for the end times, for Revelation. And if I were to ask that question out loud, listeners, ladies and gentlemen, who are the main characters of the end times? What comes to mind? The beast, the antichrist, the mark, false prophet, those real popular themes. And Doug and Joe, you can attest to that. But there is another theme that I really haven't heard about very much, if even at all. And this also is another theme that I'm going to concentrate on in my coming series. But this is what the theme is. Ladies and gentlemen, during the end times that we're walking into and stepping into, or possibly that we're already there, and during the tribulation period, the church of Jesus, and so if you're part of the remnant, if you consider yourselves part of the called out ones, the elect, the ecclesia, the church, this includes you. The church of Jesus will be purged. Now, just think about that for a moment. If you're taking notes, write that down. I know that there are individuals out there, and especially our pre-tribulation brothers, who say, well, no, it won't because we won't be here. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth of the matter. The church needs to be purged, because when we read about the church in Revelation 19, when Jesus gets on his horse and comes back to earth, it says the bride has made, quote-unquote, made herself ready, finally. So during the tribulation period, the bride was getting ready. How did that happen? It occurred through purging. Now, I am not saying that purging is necessary for salvation, because it's not. Jesus said it is finished. Our souls are saved. Our spirits are renewed, born again, through salvation. However, in order to be awakened in our spirits, in our souls, in our awakened with a renewed, correct perspective over what's important, as a trial arrives, and God is going to allow trials to come, God allows purging as a trial so that people can have the opportunity to choose God or choose bitterness. God allows purging to come as a trial so that his people can learn faith. So we're going to have the opportunity to learn faith. It's easy to say, I go to a faith church, all I do is confess it, and it's going to be fine. But until you're in the fire, until you're actually putting those words to use about believing what you can't see and believing in something that's not there, that's what faith is. That's where the testimony comes from, by being in the foxhole and believing that God's going to deliver you. And God allows purging to come as an eye-opener so that we as humans can see that we're mortals, and so that we can know that all flesh is grass and that the flower fades, and we will not live forever in our flesh, but only as in the spirit. And God allows purging to come so that we can discover the correct eternal perspective and to break the attachments from this earth. Joe and Doug, how many people that consider themselves remnant are still in love with this earth? Attached. They have that ankle weight around their leg and a tent peg attached to a chain, and they're attached to this earth, and
And they really don't want to leave because they have too much stuff going on. Well, God is going to allow the church to be purged in the end times so that we break those chains to make us long for heaven so that we can. Now, also, here's the other thing. How many individuals who have been awakened by God, they were backslidden, and while they were backslidden or before they got saved, they lived a pretty rough life and they encountered some things. They encountered individuals and some mean people, and they have hurt and wounds and even bitterness. They have anger, and they got saved. Their spirits are saved, but they're still full of angerness and bitterness. They have not come to terms with forgiving a lot of the people that have shafted them. And so God allows purging so that those that are full of themselves and have a lot of pride can also be brought down. God allows purging so the arrogant and the proud ones can be brought down to earth, and so that those that are bitter can be made better. And God allows purging to teach us also to give thanks. Because giving thanks reverses what the flesh wants to do. And giving thanks in while we're being purged helps us to seek after fruit instead of the flesh. It helps us to see beyond ourselves, and it helps us not to blame others, and it strengthens our faith. So in conclusion, why do I have this ailment? It's for all of these things, and the things I'm sharing with you are what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me and has worked even in my life. I have dealt myself, ladies and gentlemen, it's transparency time. I have nothing to hide. I have dealt with anger, with bitterness, with pride, with all that mess that strikes every one of us, that strikes many of you. In fact, let me just go out on the limb, Doug, that pretty much strikes everybody that's listening right now. So this ailment that God gave me is so that I can put everything into perspective, and then I can be used by God to share these things with the listeners so that they can then deal with their ailments and to be able to keep their ailments in the right perspective and not to get mad at God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God is sovereign, and he's going to allow whatever he wants to happen to us to occur. So as long as he's sovereign and whatever we're going through, by realizing that God's sovereignty comes number one, then we will learn and we will stay grounded, and then we'll have a goal. It'll drive us to pray, and it'll drive us to enjoy our families and to make memories and to make as many memories with our families while we can. It motivates us to find answers when we have ailments and when we're being purged, and it motivates us to seek God and to share God with others. And also when we're being purged and we have the right perspective, it helps us to keep in mind that we have a legacy, that we're not going to be here forever, and that we have to instill the correct things in our loved ones and in our family.
You know, Nathan, if I can just say this, we get ahead. So caught up. Many of us get so caught up in talking about the end times and, oh, what are we going to do when this happens or that happens? How are we going to prepare? Yet few of us really know or are willing to address our own mortality in terms of, well, this might be the last show that you listen to. This might be the last time you hit your head on the pillow. Tomorrow, you might not wake up. And so many people have different ailments, different inflictions, impairments. Nathan, I got to tell you, you are a man who you're working through this. And listening to you and having talked to Joe before the program, and I'm very proud to know you. And I'll just say this. You are setting the example for numerous people, and you're blazing some. It's a tough road, and it's a tough hand you've been dealt. But you've been just dealing with this tremendously, and there's lessons to be learned for people who are listening and willing to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and talking about purging, it's so important. Especially now at Christmas time, we see this holiday turn into a commercial, materialistic holiday. But we know that the things that are most important in life, you can't be bought. The things that are bought are worth nothing. And, the purging, as the Lord put it, purifying gold. You have to get out the imperfections, the things that aren't in the gold, to purify it, to purge it, to refine it, to, as the Lord says, to turn it into a vessel for him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks, verse 3, it says, "Therefore, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ." And it goes on to talk about suffering and endure all things for the elect's sake, to obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus and eternal glory. These are things that we are going to have to go through on earth if we want to get to heaven. And it's just a simple fact. And then we were born into a sinful nature, and we have to get rid of that. And however the Lord does that in our lives, it's different for each individual, but he will do that. And it's uncomfortable at times for some people, and for some people it's easier, but we will all go through it, those that are his.
Indeed, and I just want to say for the listener that is out there with their own ailments and their own struggles, and I'm sure there are thousands of people with struggles and ailments, and how frustrating is it, Doug and Joe, to live in a body where your mind wants to do it so bad? You want to do the chores and things you did 5-10 years previous, but the body doesn't want to because your bones or your feet or your limbs just aren't cooperating. There's things that happen, and it's very frustrating. It's like a death that occurs to a portion of our being, of ourself, and it's heartbreaking, it's grievous, it's sorrowful. So I know that there are a lot of people out there that are traveling this road, and I have to believe that that's one of the reasons that I have this ailment, is because God wants to communicate with them that there is a struggle that is going to strike everyone, but they're not alone. There could be listeners that are living, they're shut-ins in the middle of nowhere listening to this program right now, and they wonder, did God abandon them, and they're praying for healing, and maybe their loved ones don't understand how much pain they're in because they don't want to complain, and they don't want to they don't want the others to feel sorry for them, so they keep it to themselves. But when they lay their head on their pillow, they have tears, and they feel alone, and they whisper a prayer to God, and they say, "God, why? I don't understand." Well, I want to say to you, listener, that God does know what you're going through, and just like Paul, when he asked God, "Will you heal me?" And God said, "My grace is sufficient." And God allowed Paul to have his ailment, and that was God's choice, and it kept Paul grounded. In fact, Paul said that's the reason it happened, so that he can have the right perspective to want to go to heaven eventually and not to be too attached to this earth. So for those of you that have ailments, I just want to say I feel for you, and please know that God sees you. He has not forgotten you. He loves you. And also, I want to say this. There are some of you that in your purging and your affliction and your ailments, you know yourself that you have discovered treasures, the kind of treasures that can only be found by going through things like this. Those treasures are the most valuable nuggets that would never have occurred and that we never would have found without going through those seasons. So because of ailment, there are lessons that all the money in the world could not buy. All the gold in the world could not show us, and the best teacher in the world, there's no way that we could learn them without walking that lonely road by ourselves. So I just want to say, and Joe, this, and Doug, this is the other thing that I was getting to. I mentioned it earlier. The theme that is forgotten in many prophecy books has to do with the church going through purging. And also it has to do with the church going through darkness, because we're going to, for a season, have to endure part of this mess and part of these events. And as we do, there is going to be darkness and challenge. And this is one of the needed areas that God has to do for the church. God has to allow it, but there's a valid purpose for it. And I have found hundreds and hundreds of passages of prophecy that talk about this very thing in the end times. They have to do with affliction and going through the troubled times in the end, but there's also good news. While the affliction arrives, so is God's mercy, grace, strength, peace, and love, and it's going to be incredible. So I'm working on a very complex project right now, and as I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to be putting all this together about affliction, I'm going to be open and transparent, sharing a lot of the things that God has been revealing to me that in the past I couldn't because the world didn't know I was sick, but now that they do, now I can share that part of me that I believe is going to really encourage and help many of the listeners that are out there. So I'm excited about it, and I believe that I have heard from God above on this topic. He has shown me some visions about the condition of today's remnant church, which is not good. But this also has to be talked about because there is a remedy. But the bottom line is this. Things are approaching. Doug and Joe, every day when you turn on your microphone and people log in to your program, you talk about what's approaching, the bad things, the darkness, the doom, the bad people, the satanic people that are coming. And the other side of that coin is that means that it's time to get a hold of a lantern from God. It's time to get a hold of his light and his lamp. And the lantern that I'm talking about cannot be purchased at Amazon.com or at Walmart. So I'm sharing all these things because the people of God need to know that this is going to be a very important part of the future teaching. Now, for those that are listening right now and they might not like what I'm saying, I am sorry, but this is the big announcement also that I have to include. Polishing your AR-15 and those that are sharpening your K-bar blades, this is the announcement I have. As the days diminish into darkness, everybody, not some, but everyone who considers themselves part of the remnant is going to be tested. This means all of us, ladies and gentlemen. The testing is going to consist of events, circumstances, and opportunities when God is going to allow, and that's the key word, God is going to allow affliction to visit everyone. Now, I'm not making this up for the record. This is all scriptural. It's not what people want to hear, but this is what lies between us right now where we are, December 18, 2013, and the return of Christ. Between now and then, we're going to go through affliction. Now, I have watched and I've witnessed, I've observed that many people are Christians in name only in the body of Christ, and their faith at this point is limited to information in their mind and their intellect, but it hasn't been put to the test to prove itself. So Jesus is going to be coming back for a bride that has made herself ready, and made herself implies effort. It implies active participation to get ready. And to the one that asks, well, isn't the church ready now? Aren't they, Mr. Nathan, Joe, Doug? Isn't the church? Here's the answer. No. The Western church has not made herself ready yet. Key word. And I use the word yet because the Bible tells us that eventually it will prepare herself. But how is this going to happen? Ladies and gentlemen, please know. And I'm trying to get done before the top of the hour. I got a few minutes, Joe, to squeeze in a few points right here. Doug, are we doing okay? Keep going?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Keep going.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not speaking to somebody else right now in a different state or a different city. Let me try to word it this way. I'm speaking to everybody, so that means I'm speaking to you, my friend. Everyone listening, I'm speaking to you. Everyone is going to participate in what's coming, and when this season occurs, everyone will have a chance to discover what they're really made of. How's this going to happen? Well, this gets back to my earlier statement. God is going to allow his church to be tested, and one of the primary ways that testing occurs is through affliction, and there's not going to be any shortcuts. People can't say, well, I bought my way and I get a free pass. No. Everyone, my friends, is going to participate, and I'm going to be talking about this more in upcoming programs, but I need to because the body of Christ is already starting to experience this. There are some that are listeners, Doug and Joe, that they already know. They're saying, amen, Nathan, I know what you're talking about. Ever since the crash started in 08, life hasn't been the same. A lot of people's worlds have been turned upside down. There are people that have encountered things they never thought they would. They have lost everything, their wealth. Some people have lost their health. A lot of people are going through this. It has started. So this is why God is allowing his messengers to be struck with affliction. And affliction does something to our faith like nothing else. And in the book of Psalms 119, verse 92, if you have you're taking notes, just write that down, 119:92, it says, unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. So while the psalmist wrote this, what they're attesting to is, because they knew the word of God, they were able to endure during their affliction. So affliction reveals what we delight in. It reveals our heart, and it allows us and forces us to deal with our faith, our salvation, and our trust in God. It does all of this and so much more. So as we walk through this and come out on the other side, then we find out what we're made of. Now, There's a very popular term in those end-time books. As I stated, the bullet points, the stars of the tribulation that I mentioned earlier, the Antichrist, the Beast, those guys, well, the term tribulation is often used by Christians to signify that timeline. And whether you look at it as being 7 years or 3.5, tribulation is that word that helps us all get on the same page and understand, well, yeah, we're talking about that period right before the return of Christ. The tribulation, quote-unquote. Now, in Matthew 24:21, it says, for then shall be a great tribulation as such has never been on the world and never will happen again. It talks about that in Matthew, that term, and that's where we get that from. That's why we use that word. But here's an interesting point, ladies and gentlemen. That word for tribulation comes from the Greek word thalipsis, and thalipsis, the Greek word thalipsis, means affliction. Did you know that, Mr. Doug and Joe? The word for tribulation means affliction. So, in fact, if you have a King James Bible, the cross-reference, the same account of Matthew 24 recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 13, the Olivet Discourse, you know, the Matthew 24 thing, in the book of Mark, it occurs in chapter 13. And in there, when Jesus says, there shall be a great tribulation that has not come before, well, in Mark 13, it doesn't say tribulation. It says, for in those days, that's the key word, those days, that means it's a predetermined period of time, that these days are coming, in those days shall be affliction such as not since the beginning of creation. So, in other words, the Bible translates the word the tribulation period, which the root of that word, if we really want to get down to the truth, is the affliction period. And the word affliction means to be pressed together, to have pressure, to go through distress, to go through tribulation. This is scriptural. So when I'm saying that every Christian is going to go through affliction, it's because the tribulation period is really the affliction period, which means the church is going to go through affliction, which means that all of us are going to go through affliction. Jesus says, there shall be a period of affliction. So for those who may believe that they're immune because they have ascended to a level of a super Christian, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but God is going to allow this. Why? To purify his church so that we can get ready and so that we can become refined. That's the bottom line, to become refined. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 10, it says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So, for people that may say, well, that Nathan, that verse is for Israel. Folks, do we really believe and can we really say that it's only for Israel, that it's only Israel that needs refinement right now? Can we really say that the church doesn't need refinement right now? If we needed to be honest with ourselves, the church of Jesus is in a mess right now. And you guys know this. Most of you don't even attend the big box churches because you know this. And so, in fact, Joe and Doug, let me say this, and I said it earlier, but how many of you have discovered that the church is full of mean and bitter people? Amen or wow?
Yeah.
But
no,
Jesus
amen.
Didn't say that the mean people will inherit the earth. He said the meek will inherit the earth. So between now and then, the mean, angry, and bitter member of the body of Christ must be refined and purged to become meek and humble. So how is God going to do this? Through that hated, ignored, and denied word, affliction. So I'll stop there. I see that what the clock is saying, Joe and Doug, but I needed to share all of that because I'm going to be concentrating on that in the future, and this is a theme that we know is coming.
Yeah,
and the people of God need to come to terms with it.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you sharing that here with our listeners on air, and it is so true, and you were right when you said it, that it sounds uncomfortable for people maybe who are new or are just learning. They're saying, what do you mean I'm going to have to go through suffering? This is part of how the Lord, as you said, refines you. It turns you into a vessel for his use, and we all go through it for those who are seeking the Lord. And if you're not going through problems, you got to stop and ask, am I really doing what I need to do in the Lord? Because usually your faith will be tried. You will be given real life examples as you learn about these things. And it sounds uncomfortable, but But just in my life experience, the things I've done and the experiences I've had, not great ones, have made me who I am today. And I wouldn't go back and change them, even if I could now.
Absolutely. And Nathan, we want to thank you. And again, we want to let you know that the Hagman and Hagman Report, the extended family, our listeners, the people who really know and care, you know, about what's really going on, we're behind you 100%. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this, the 18th day of December 2013. What, another, how many days till Christmas? Seven, a week from today, apparently.
Week from today is Christmas.
Christmas Day. How fast time flies. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Our very special guest tonight is Nathan Leal. He's going to be with us for the entire program. Coming up is some very important information. You've got to stick with us. You've got to listen to what Nathan's got to say. Important things I know because I got the inside scoop from Joe before coming into my office or the studio here a little bit late.
His website, watchmanscry.com. Right. We'll be right back with Mr. Leal.
Up next, by the way, is News in 2 Minutes, sponsored by FullSpectrumSurvival.com.
Japanese media organizations are beginning to understand and disclose the long-term dangers associated with the disaster at the Fukushima nuclear site, with varying outlets discussing the potentially catastrophic effects of long-term radiation exposure that is brought about by the ingestion of radioactive material not just within a year's period, but over the next 15 to 20 years. Researchers warn that there are no viable solutions to the continuation of radioactive water being dumped into the ocean or leaking into the sea through contaminated soil, and that the exponential effect of the leaks may have disastrous effects on local and global marine life. Analysts report that a government panel has addressed a portion of the long-term outlook for containment at the plant, and that the panel warned that even with the countermeasures that are currently being put into place to slow the contamination, the agency will not be able to fully address the risks of the water leaks by the end of the year 2020. As citizens in China worriedly await new cases of the H7N9 avian flu, the Chinese Center for Health Protection is warning all residents and visitors that have traveled throughout the affected areas to wear facial masks and seek immediate medical attention if suffering from flu-like symptoms. The warning comes as border control checkpoints are being put into place to scan all residents and travelers for signs of fever and fatigue, where officials will isolate and transfer any suspected cases to the quarantine sectors of nearby hospitals. Reports show that nations around the world are experiencing a sharp increase in food prices, with many countries showing a surge in inflation due to the higher costs of both food and living expenses. Analysts are warning that the cost of food may continue to outpace the average salary until at least 2018, and that fresh produce and meat may become luxury items for most of the developed world in the not-too-distant future. Research on the subject shows a parallel between high food prices and weakening economies with widespread discontent, as economists echo the expectations of experts that we may see an increase in social unrest as prices continue to climb. And to wrap things up, scientists warn that Asian sewage treatment plants are producing superbugs thought to be a worldwide threat. South Korean intelligence shows that North Korea may be preparing for a nuclear test. And continued research on the magma chamber that sits beneath the caldera at Yellowstone shows that the volcano's next and likely cataclysmic eruption could strike with the force of over 2,000 times the size of the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens in Washington State. And that's it for this episode of News in 2 Minutes. Check back tomorrow for more news that the aware need the most.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Hello.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, 1 week before Christmas. And we are getting Christmas early as we are joined by our very special guest, Mr. Nathan Liao from WatchmansCry.com. The first hour we were talking about the spiritual condition of the church and ourselves and what we can expect to be going through personally here in the near future as we continue to move through Bible prophecy, through the end days or the end times. And with that, we're going to bring back Mr. Liao, and we have a lot to get into. Mr. Liao, you have a lot on the plate for tonight. We're talking about the possibility of Russia and China invading the United States. This is something that you discussed in your latest audio alert, the Overcomer series. And that can be found at WatchmansCry.com. There is his latest audio links, and the forum obviously is there, which is an awesome place to be for fellowship and information. And with that, we're going to bring back Mr. Liao, and I'm just going to give it back to you and let you take it where you want to go.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Doug and Joe. Yeah, I got 2 hours to squeeze a lot of info in. I have a lot of notes. I've been there are several new prophetic warnings that I have. I have not shared them anywhere, so I'm going to do it here. Now, many times when I do have a prophetic glimpse or vision or dream, I go through the standard protocol of just waiting on it, praying about it, seeking others' opinions about it, to get a witness from them, asking them what they think about it. So there's homework that goes on behind the scenes, and now I'm going to share. Depending on how much time we have, I'm going to share two of them and possibly three or four. But I want to start out with signs in the heavens. Now, this happened about maybe a month ago, and I didn't get the exact date because I just kept it to myself and I didn't write it down. And it's probably one of the things I should do when I have them, but sometimes, you know, I just forget. But in this dream, I was in Las Vegas, and I was traveling in a vehicle, and then the vehicle stopped. And then I was looking out the window, and I'm not sure if I was either looking out the window or standing on the side. That's the part that is a little foggy, but I was next to the car or looking out the window, and a voice told me, they said, okay, now look to that pyramid right there. Do you see the pyramid? And I looked, and in Vegas, I'm looking at this huge pyramid, and in the dream I was thinking, I didn't know there was pyramids in Vegas, so anyway, I said, okay, I see the pyramid. And they said, now look right above the pyramid and tell me what you see. And above the pyramid were clouds that were, the sky was a little cloudy, so I couldn't really see anything. And I said, well, I don't see anything. And the voice said, no, look again. So I looked, and then the clouds started to part. And at the peak of the pyramid, right above it, just a few degrees over the pyramid, was what looked like a tiny moon. It was probably about a third of the size. And it was right over the pyramid. It was the same color as the moon. It had craters, but it was not the moon. And I said, what is that? And the voice said, that's the asteroid that's approaching us. And I said, what? Asteroid? And then the dream was over. So as I awakened, I first of all, I asked my wife, and I said, are there pyramids in Vegas? And she said, well, yeah, that casino. And so I got online, and I looked it up, and I saw the Luxor Casino. It's pretty tall. I believe it's almost 400 feet or a little bit under that. It's not as big as the real pyramid, but it's pretty big. There's like 4,000 rooms in this thing, so it's a huge building. For those of you that know about the Luxor in Vegas, you know what I'm talking about. So there is a pyramid in Vegas. So the question that I had, and I was praying and asking God, I said, God, why did I see an asteroid from Vegas? What does that mean? And up to this point, ladies and gentlemen, Doug and Joe, this is what I believe this prophetic dream means. I believe that it is showing that eventually at some point in the future, and I don't know when, so I'm not giving a date, but an asteroid is going to be approaching the Earth. It's going to be very, very large. And why did I see it from Vegas? I don't know. Does that mean it's going to hit Vegas, or does that mean just because of Vegas's desert skies it's a little bit easier to see? That part I don't know. I do know this, Vegas has been on the bullseye of God's judgment list for through the eyes of and the hearts and the prophetic dreams of and visions and warnings of several other watchmen that are out there. Dimitri Dudeman, I believe, was shown that Vegas is going to be destroyed. And so Vegas represents, especially when we have the pyramid, the spirit of Egypt. And the spirit of Egypt is a symbolic representation of that slime from Satan, of the world's slime, the world's way of life. Egypt represents before Christ. It represents living in the flesh. It represents all the things that the flesh offers and the things that the world offers. The spirit of Egypt in Scripture over and over represents those things. So the other thing that I need to warn about this is that God is going to have, and this is where the title of this program coincides. The Holy Spirit told me the reckoning was coming, the great divine reckoning. And I heard those words, reckoning, and I looked them up in the internet, in the definition on Google, and it brought up that reckoning means to settle up, to settle the score, to pay up, to settle up on the account. And what that meant was God is going to settle up with planet Earth. And now, am I saying this because God hates planet Earth and hates all earthlings? No, because the world... This is the reason that God's going to settle up. It's because the world hates him. The world despises God. The world despises their creator. And God tells us in the scriptures that he is going to punish the world for its evil. That thing is coming. And as we are arriving in the end times, we're beginning to see that God is going to use nature and earth changes to judge mankind. And this includes signs from the heavens. It includes the use of near-earth objects, NEOs, that are no longer going to be kept away from hitting the earth. Now, up to this point, God has protected the earth with his hand of protection. He has not allowed asteroids and comets to wipe out the planet yet because he loves us and it's not time for judgment. But now we're entering that season. So, ladies and gentlemen, God is going to allow asteroids, meteors, and comets, and also CMEs, coronal mass ejections, solar flares, to strike the earth. So today on planet Earth, because mankind is hypnotized with the spirit of Egypt, God is going to have to waken them up. And we're told this in the scriptures. Jesus said there will be signs in the heavens, suns, moons, and stars. Man's hearts will fail them when they see what's coming. So all of this is prophetic and scriptural. So this thing that I saw in the sky, the voice said that's the asteroid that is approaching us. So again, Doug and Joe, I don't know if you've received any intel or if any people have shared that there is something out there eventually. I don't know that. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit showed me. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verse 1, in fact, I want to read from that passage. Let me get my Bible right here. 19, verse 1. If you have them, I just want to share a passage about the spirit of Egypt. And it says right here, the burden against Egypt, and this is talking about the spirit of Egypt over the whole world. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence. And that word totter means to be moved, to quiver, to tremble, to be tossed about, to be shaken. God is going to shake this land that has both the spirit of Egypt and also the arriving spirit of Babylon. And God's going to shake this land through a variety of things, including nature and heavenly signs. And the verse goes on, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. And that entire chapter goes into, this is a mirror chapter, by the way, of Matthew 24, when Jesus said, brother will rise against brother, kingdom against kingdom. In verse 2, it says that, I will set Egyptian against Egyptian, everyone will fight against his brother, everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their council. And by the way, I want to make a comment about that. The Council of Egypt, the Council of Egypt is what we hear from the popular media, from the podiums of politicians, and from the talking heads that we hear in news reports, and from the voices at the water cooler, from your neighbors, from people that don't acknowledge God. So the spirit of Egypt and the Council of Egypt believes in man. They believe in their own way. They believe in global warming. They believe in Mother Earth, their mediums and their sorcerers. But God is going to – look at verse 4. If you have the scripture in front of you, Doug and Joe, look at verse 4 says, "And the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master. A fierce king will rule over them." Now, who is that individual? We could have a whole show on that, couldn't we? Has he already arrived? Is that going to be fulfilled by several cruel masters? Is Mr. Obama doing that at the moment? We could do a whole other program about that. I have myself wondered about it. I am accumulating the data on the role Obama is going to play in our future, whether it's on a limited basis or whether it's going to be in a more global basis. I'm accumulating the data. I'm sure a lot of people are also wondering about it. There are some people that are suspect of it. At minimum, we know that Mr. Obama has a spirit of Antichrist. And we know that, and by the way, I'm going to talk about some things that are occurring in the administration later on in the program, but right now Obama is going to be used as the judgment. It says right here, "I will give Egypt into the hand of a cruel master." So that means God allows it. And this is the thing we need to come to terms with. People say God didn't want Obama to be in office. Well, you know what, folks? God didn't wake up one morning and look down on earth on November the 5th after Election Day and say, "Oops, how did that happen? Which one of you angels allowed this to happen? Someone's going to pay. I'm going to write someone up here." That didn't happen. That's not the way it occurs. God knows what he's doing, and because the earth wanted to have their own direction and into darkness, God, at minimum for America, has given us into the hands of a cruel master. And he's a fierce king, and right now he is ruling over us. And when the Holy Spirit told me that the reckoning is coming, the settling up of the account is coming. So that means that the United States of America is going to settle up. For those of us that live within the borders of this country, we have to settle up with a divine mandate. The United States has to pay up because the King of the Universe is mobilizing his hosts, the host of heaven, his angels, for the final reckoning. And as this event draws near, as it is approaching, it's getting closer and closer, and many of us are starting to notice that things are amiss. Joe, when I was talking to you off the air before the program, you told me. You said, "Nathan, I can feel it." Indeed, right? The darkness, that thing in the air, that heaviness.
Yeah. Yeah,
how do you put words to
spirit,
it?
The spiritual heaviness, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. The intensity that you feel, even, you know, we see it's slower since Syria happened. There hasn't been any real big news events. There hasn't been any huge tragedies, which is great. But, people say something big's coming around the corner because it's been so quiet. Well, it hasn't really been quiet. There is a war going on, whether the war's in the skies or the heavens. There is a war going on for each and every believer's soul here on earth, and that is manifesting itself in many ways. And yes, it is spiritually present and very intense.
Indeed, there is a battle, and the soul hunters are engaged in the battle. And there are soul hunters for God, and there are soul hunters for Satan. And I'm using that term because that's another thing I've been investigating. There's a reference to it in the book of Jeremiah, the soul hunters for Satan, for the false prophets, hunt souls of the souls of men and bring them down into hell with deception. And right now there is a battle. There is a tugging going on with every believer and non-believer, with every individual, even right now. So ladies and gentlemen, you may feel this, and this event may be happening, and the crossing of swords is occurring. So we are in the middle of that thing. So which side are we going to choose? You remember that old song by Bob Dylan, "You got to serve somebody"? Remember that song?
Now
Dad?
You're dating yourself, yeah. Now
I am dating myself.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was so profound, wasn't it?
It
may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody.
Absolutely.
Well, that's...
If I can just interject something here, I think, Nathan, boy, I feel it too. I feel this darkness and oppression and this heaviness in my spirit, and I think that the changing political landscape that we're seeing is tied to that. And I think that if I can just interject my two cents here, we're looking, and you had mentioned this, we're looking at the foreign troops already here in America. We're looking at foreign troops and armies, which were God's method, I suppose, when dealing with Israel. And I think that that also applies a lesson to us as well as the church if we don't repent. And I think we have become so backslidden that we now call evil good and good evil. And I think that's part of this perversion is actually this dark cloud or this heaviness represents a perversion that we're in. And, you know, when we look at our churches today, they're filled with fornicators and sodomites and drunkards and adulterers and sinners. And my goodness, how is it that such people can sit in these houses of God every week and never, ever, ever repent? Now, I know I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but I'm kind of going back to what you said earlier. When we look at everything taking place back in June, the repealing in the United States of DOMA, the ungodly and perverted decision by the Supreme Court justices. We get same-sex marriage, redefining marriage as opposed to reinforcing traditional marriage. And Isaiah prophesies that what men would call evil good and good evil, then we would, you know, woe unto them. So I think if I could just interject that, but if I could just say this, I really think that this is part of the heaviness and such. And when you mentioned about Obama, you know, he's declaring openly that he's a Christian, yet is there any evidence to support that? Of course not. And we're becoming more and more blinded, don't you think, every day, by the second? When a person professes to be a Christian and then they've got to follow Jesus Christ. Professing Christians must follow Jesus Christ, but we're not doing that. I just a few thoughts when we were talking there. I just want to interject that, and I just see this geopolitical landscape and the heaviness and all of this tied directly into what you're saying, and I think it's so important.
Well, what you're saying is actually prophesied in Thessalonians and in Timothy. I was sent a spirit of delusion because they wanted to have their ears tickled because they didn't love the truth. And Jeremiah talks about it in chapter 2 of Jeremiah. In fact, when Jeremiah writes it in 2 verse 12, it says, be astonished. And that's the word that you use. It makes no sense, but Jeremiah says, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So these big box churches have committed these two grievances, these two evils. They have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. Today there's a famine for the Word of God. The Word of God is not presented from the pulpits like it used to be. You know, preachers don't dangle the people over hell anymore like they used to in the old days because it's not politically correct. And instead, they have hewn for themselves broken cisterns with fake water, with this vitamin water made out of man, with soda water, with whatever liquid they want to put in there. But it's not the real water from the fountain of God. And it doesn't soothe the thirst of the people. And so they go away thinking that they took a drink when they didn't. And, you know, Mr. Joe and Doug, a real Christian knows when they didn't get fed. A real Christian knows when they still feel empty. A real Christian knows when they're hearing a lie. So if people can sit in these big box churches and think that they're being fed when they're not, then I would question where their salvation lies and where their relationship with God lies, because they're deceiving themselves. And it says right here in Jeremiah, if people are actually thinking that they're right with God when they're not, what's the proper response from heaven? Well, verse 12 says, be horribly afraid, folks, because possibly your salvation's in jeopardy. So that's the world that we're living in right now. This darkness is battling us. At the same time, God has his light available, but we have to be able to find it. So anyway, moving on, as I was saying, the United States is going to encounter a reckoning, and when this thing arrives, there are events that are drawing near, because they're going to be spiritual events, divine events that God's going to allow to happen. I know that there are many commentaries out there in the awake, amongst the awakened ones, for those that are talking about the New World Order and all of the events that are coming. There are people that post their intel, and they say what Homeland Security is going to do, and the bullets and the MRAP vehicles, and they talk about all that stuff. The guillotines are out there, the trains with shackles. But the part that's being left out is why. And this is the part that we cannot – this is the most important part, ladies and gentlemen. It's because God is going to bring a divine reckoning to America and to this world. And when it arrives on planet Earth, it's not going to arrive in a whisper. It's not going to arrive quietly. It's going to arrive with a thunder. It's going to arrive – in a whirlwind. It's going to arrive with power and magnificence and with terror. And God is going to be behind this thing. And it's going to be the hour of his visitation. And folks, nation USA is going to pay a very hefty penalty, a hefty sum. This is the thing that we cannot get away from. For those that say we're going to turn this thing around and save it, no. It's not going to be saved. Every day I read another story that's nonsensical about another crazy mandate, law, legislative bill that gets passed that's against God, taking prayer out of this, removing the cross from the Veterans Memorial, taking God out of here and there, and the prayer out of this, the kids can't say prayers, the Christ has gone from this. It's nonsense. It's crazy. And in the days when God is already on his chariot and his whole heavenly host is on the chariot to bring the whirlwind to America, America is doing this nonsense? Who should be astonished at this right now? We all should, because Nation USA has belittled. Now, this is the other crime that America has done, and this is one of the big reasons why judgment's coming to us in a big way. For people that say, well, Indonesia has child trafficking, Nathan, they're worse than us, or you got voodoo in Haiti, or you know, you got all these horrible things in other countries, that's true. But they didn't have the heritage of God like America did. They were not founded on the statutes and principles like America was. They didn't commit their thing to America, to God. They didn't commit their country like America did to God. So America has the heritage of God that is now being trampled, and Nation USA has also done this. This is one of the big crimes from America. America has belittled the rest of the world and squandered on the innocence of the humble ones throughout the world, and sent tyranny throughout the world, and raised up and funded tyrants throughout the world. America has operated with an unjust balance throughout the world. She has issued unjust decrees to the rest of the world, and she has murdered millions and millions of people throughout the world. And so here is what's coming. What is coming here to America within our borders, folks, please hear me. This is coming, and this is a mandate from the heavens. A new round of terror is going to come, and that's going to be complement of the Kenya connection. Now, I'm going to share some things right now, and please follow along. Joe, I mentioned a few of these points before the program, but I'm going to go into detail on this now about the Kenya connection. Now, I have shared in past programs about the gates that exist. Mr. Doug, you remember that? The gates, the portals, and how portals
absolutely
have been opening worldwide?
This is so important, folks. Absolutely.
Okay, the thresholds that span and merge the two realms of the spiritual underworld and the physical world. There are doorways and gates that lie between the two realms. And whatever word you want to use, whether it's gates, thresholds, portals, open windows, they exist, doorways. And, you know, folks, if the word portal offends you, then whatever the word is, doorway, gate, that's what I'm talking about here. Now, we have already seen that this thing, this object, this gateway object that we've talked about has already been on the news. We have seen the people that are members of the esoteric arts, the pagans, those that are in the New Age, those that are part of the Illuminati, the Satanists, those individuals have talked about these things openly. They have talked about opening the portals. In fact, the 12 shamans in 2011, remember those wise sages, quote-unquote, apparently they think they're wise, they took those crystal skulls and they went across America and they opened portals to the spirit world, and they had their services to open up the portals. Now, how interesting is that, that one of the areas that they chose actually got was on the headlines, and I'm not sure if the meteor hit the ground or if it was close to the ground, but in the Midwest, there was a meteor that struck, and I believe it was Serpent Mound. I'm not sure the exact location, but it was the same place. I'm not sure of the exact name, but it was the same place where the elders met to open up the portals, and a few months later, a meteor hit or was seen by a lot of people. And that, Doug and Joe, am I striking any memories there? You can look that up if you have time while I'm talking about this.
Yep.
Okay. The portals, the opening of portals is a very important part of the satanic underworld in the end times. And we see this even talked about in the scriptures. We see it mentioned in Revelation chapter 9 about the bottomless pit being opened. There's a key, the angels that are bound at the river Euphrates are released from under the Euphrates. So under the earth, there are creatures that are bound. There are demonic spirits, fallen angels, that dwell in these caverns, in these prisons, these places that are under the earth. Now, how can we describe this? And for the person that has the scientific mind, if they say, Nathan, we're in a physical world, what do you mean angels are in a prison? I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. The Bible says that in the earth there's a prison for the angels and for the fallen spirits and for demons. When Jesus saw the demon-possessed guy that was naked and the Gerasenes, the demoniac guy that started crying out, Jesus, let us go into the pigs. Remember that guy at the cemetery? He was always naked. They couldn't chain him up. And Jesus said, what's your name? And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. We know who you are. Have you come to send us into the abyss before our time? Remember that? Well, they mentioned the abyss. There is an abyss under the earth. And this abyss under the earth has spirits that God has chained up under the earth. And at the appointed time, God is going to open those doorways and allow them to come on the surface of the earth above the gates. Now, the spirit, those that are a part of the spirit world, the satanic witchcraft new age spirit world, the pagans, they want this to happen also. And there are a lot of different esoteric groups. Perhaps some of them aren't a part of the same group. Maybe some of them don't get along, but they have the same basic foundation of belief. They believe in a spirit realm where there are portals. And some of the deceived ones, like the pagans, they don't call them demons. They say they're ascended masters and spirits, etc. And the shamans probably don't call them demons. They just said they're spirit guides. But, ladies and gentlemen, they're demons. They're fallen angels, and they're under the earth. Okay, why am I bringing this up? Well, because we have already been observing that the portals have been talked about, and I shared about the Olympic ceremony that occurred in 2012 during the summer, and the opening ceremony was a giant Luciferian ritual where a portal was opened under the earth to bring spirits from the underworld into the earth and to slime every nation of the earth. We talked about that. That's an old program. You can go to my website and see that. But the Olympic series did it. And also we saw, and I discussed this on one of your programs, Mr. Doug, about the inauguration. When Babylon came in the Old Testament and invaded Jerusalem, we saw some demon entities that are mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 39, and they're mentioned, and they came into Jerusalem. The demon Nergal, remember that dude? That bad guy? Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
He's an actual demon, and we talked about how he was going to come into the United States, and that's a whole long program also. But that event happened, and for those that listened to the program and have since forgotten it, those creatures now abide in the United States. Those demonic creatures now live in Washington, D.C. Those demonic creatures are now attached to members of our administration, members of Obama's council, part of his team, his cabinet, those that he has placed in power, all the czars that he has, the secretaries. Many of those people have demons that have now attached themselves, and they came in on Inauguration Day because the entities, the portals were open for the entities. Now, if we go back and remember how we felt before Inauguration Day, Mr. Doug and Joe, when you went outside and felt the thickness of the darkness before Inauguration Day compared to now, I'm pretty sure that we can agree that the thickness has grown a lot stronger. Would you attest to that, Doug, or would you confirm that, or do you think it's the same, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I would say that it has continued to grow since then, and, you know, it's just gotten more intense, and it is continuing on its path. We are moving along faster than we think.
And if we can feel it, here's the next question. What is the makeup of it? How powerful is it? And what is it doing? That darkness that we feel, in layman's terms, are the presence of evil spirits and evil manifestation that is now running loose in our town. It's in your town, Joe. If you feel it in your town and where you live, it's there. Here where I live, I feel it. It's here. And I've talked to people all over the country, from California to the East Coast down to the South. People can feel it. They can even feel it outside the borders. So this thing is now walking about, and it's infecting. Mr. Doug, you said, how is it that people can go to these big box churches and not feel like they're getting fed? It's because this spirit is in the air, and it's hypnotizing them. And above the hypnotism that's taking place over the people, it is now taking place on an individual. And now I'm going to talk about what's going on in the administration. Mr. Barack Hussein Barry Soltero, unknown man Obama, mystery man, is a snake charmer. He is a charlatan, and he's now operating outside the realm of the natural. Now, during the inauguration, before he did his vow and took the pledge that he was going to defend the Constitution, so he said, before that, in the last days leading up to the election, you remember he was on TV crying, and there were tears coming out, and he said, I guess, you know, the people are going to choose Romney. It seemed that he wasn't going to win. You guys remember that? And for a moment, it seemed like, wow, he has tears. Is he actually a normal guy? Does he have a heart? There's actually a heart beating inside of him. It's not mechanical and, you know, some weird thing. Is he real? And for that brief moment in time, I actually wondered about that. Is he a regular guy? But then that went away real quickly because the Holy Spirit revealed that Obama at that time was at a crossroads. He had the opportunity to choose to be a good president and to maybe backtrack on some of the things he wanted to do or to go for it into the darkness. He was being tugged on both ends. And now we see what he chose. He chose the darkness. And when he chose the darkness, the minute a person's will chooses the darkness, this is what happens. Just like we saw occur with Judas Iscariot when Jesus said, what you do, do quickly, and Judas left, the Bible tells us at that moment, Satan entered into Judas. He became demon-possessed. So when Obama chose to continue the dark ways and the mandates that George Soros gave him and Valerie Jarrett and all these other dark ones and these other elite individuals in that dark smoke-filled room when they said, we're going to use you to bring about this, this, and this, he had a choice, but he made his decision. And now, because he made that decision, he has been taken over, and he now operates outside the realm of a natural human being. And let me go on. I'm going to go on the out on the limb and say this. If I get flack for it, whatever, but this is what I see, Mr. Doug. Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, is possessed by demonic spirits right now, and these spirits aren't light spirits. They're not easy spirits. They are very, very powerful demonic entities. They are princes. They are the demons that are high on the Richter scale of demonology. Possibly it's that demon Nurgle. And these spirits that have taken over Obama have possessed other kings in past ages. They have possessed other kings for other kingdoms. And he is possessed by an alien tactician from Pandemonium, and these spirits inside Obama are scheming for the next wave of destruction and fire that's coming on America. Now, when God said, I am going to put them in the hands of a wicked king, a very wicked person, that's what this is talking about. When God says, I am letting you have them, then God is pulling out all the stops, and these entities are now there. That means there are alien entities from another realm in the White House. Now, America is located in the West. We're located beyond the Western Gate, so to speak. But Obama is from the East. Obama's from Kenya. And, Mr. Doug, it's beyond debate. It's beyond argument. It's beyond people accusing conspiracy theory, whatever. We know it's true. Obama's not an American citizen. His documents have been forged. He's an alien. He's an imposter. He came from Kenya, maybe a lab in the underground of Kenya. But he is not from America. Now, this is the part that when we put the pieces together, aside from people just saying, well, he's a communist and he's bad and he wants to destroy America, let's take it further. Let's talk about the spiritual realm. Obama is from beyond the Western Gate. Obama's from Kenya, and we have seen him endorse and mandate and put out decrees and legislation that's just pure evil. One of the first one that comes to mind is that he endorsed abortion. He is on record as saying, God bless Planned Parenthood. Now, to the normal Christian that hears this and is grieved by it, and we're mystified. How? You know, for some people that fight their conscience, they approve abortion because they're part of the political left and they're progressive, and they endorse abortion. But to just get on national TV and do it so boldly in such an arrogant manner, God bless Planned Parenthood. Well, first of all, he wasn't talking about our God, Yahweh, because our God will not bless Planned Parenthood. So he was talking about Satan or Allah when he said that. Now, how could he do this? Now, folks, this is the reason why, and please hear me. This is beyond the realm of the natural. The reason that Obama does this, and the reason why he backs up abortion, is because the blood of the innocent ones is a sacrifice to Satan. And when Satanists sacrifice innocent blood to Satan, it yields them great power from Satan. It gives them supernatural spiritual power. Now, how can it be? Let's examine the record. How can it be that Obama has not been dethroned already? Folks, when we think about it, Doug, when we think about it, after all of the scandals that would fill multitudes of pages and they defy logic, well, here's how he's able to do it. Number one, God said, I am going to give them into the hands of a cruel master. So God's allowing it. But on top of that, Obama has obtained supernatural favor from Satan that he obtained by sacrificing innocent blood. So the spilt blood is Obama's source of power. And the evil politicians who rule for so long, when we look at history and we look at all, you know, Pol Pot and all these other horrible people, Baby Doc and these hatchet men, Mao Zedong, all these people, they sacrificed blood. In order for them to stay in power, these communistic tyrant, dictator, banana republic leaders, in order for them to stay in power, they have to kill people. They have to kill innocent women and children and murder and butcher and maim. That's how they are able to stay in power for so long, for years, for decades, because Satan protects them. So evil politicians who rule are allowed to, as long as they obey Satan and as long as they continue to enthrone Satan in their mandates in exchange for evil favors. Now, what are the evil favors? Here's what it is: the shedding of blood. So this means that in order for Obama, Satan's lightning bolt, to stay in power, he must allow, or Obama must allow, he must influence, he must mandate, legislate, decree that people continue to die on his watch. Now, I know that those are strong words, and for the people listening that say, Nathan, you're bold, I'm not threatening Obama. I'm just saying the guy's demon-possessed. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have an evil and a cruel master now, and he's being protected by Satan, and God's allowing him to stay in power to judge America. Now, what does this mean? This is the part that strikes terror in my heart, and ladies and gentlemen, I am fearful of the events that I know are coming to America, because I have seen them in the prophetic realm. I've seen them in prophetic dreams and glimpses. God has shown what is coming. We can read about them in Scripture, but this means, in order for Obama to stay in power, this means his administration is a round table of demon-possessed vampires who cannibalize on their own citizens, on their own military, on their own veterans, on their newborns, and soon they're sick and they're elderly through Obamacare. Bloodletting is their fuel. Now, Doug and Joe, just let that sink in for a moment. Obama is not going to be dethroned because he sheds blood, and he is allowing the maiming and the murdering and the killing of a lot of people throughout the world, not just here in America, but throughout the world. He funds abortion throughout the world. Now, how can this be? Again, heavens, be astonished. Be shocked. How can this be? Here's why, ladies and gentlemen, because there's a devil, and there's a fight against light, against darkness, a fight of light against darkness, and most of America has chosen the darkness. So the dark night did arise, and his name is Obama. And like that theater shooting that happened in Colorado, you know, the guy, they say, dressed like the Joker, the door was left open, he comes in and started shooting down everyone with his gun. In the same way, the Joker came in through the side door. And the Joker is the same demonic figure that also occupies Obama. And he laughs about it, and he gets on stage, and he grins, and he snickers. But he didn't come in through the front door. He came in through the side door, and he started killing everybody, just like the Joker did in Colorado. That event in Colorado was a symbolic event of what's happening to America. Obama came in through the side door that was left open, and he also let a lot of his friends come in. So now he has possession of the stage. The theater is his, and he has his own theatrical production, and the name of his satanic production is called The Wilting Tree. That's the name of Obama's production. Now, why is it called that way? Now, folks, please listen to what I'm about to say right here. Because through Obama, America's tree of liberty is now a weeping willow. That's it, with many tears. And that tree weeps for this nation and for the future. And it weeps for you, and it weeps for me, and it weeps for your children and your grandkids and your loved ones. And it weeps because so far nobody has watered it. And you know why? Because we're in a drought. And the land is now desolate, and soon it's going to burn. And that's why I call this program The Reckoning, with fire and fracturing. It's going to burn, my friends. Mr. Doug, Joe, listeners, fire is coming to this land. And the only way that Obama and his Satanist elite can succeed and bring the New World Order phoenix, they must first burn up the past, and they have to burn up the old, and they have to burn up the forgotten. And that means that America's yellow brick road is not yellow. It's black, and it's made out of pitch and ashes and burned things. So this judgment is going to be America's visitation, and God's going to allow it. Now, for those of you that did watch the Olympic ceremony, the opening ceremony, there was also a closing ceremony, and I didn't do a program about the closing ceremony, but for those of you that watched, or maybe you saw the images, Mr. Doug and Joe, I don't know if you saw the images, but there are three portions of the closing ceremony that were very profound, where they showed what's coming to this planet. The first thing that they did was they showed the octopus. Doug, do you remember that, the big blue octopus?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And everything you're going to go over, folks, please listen very carefully to this.
Okay, that multi-legged octopus represents the satanic beast that's spreading his arms throughout the world, and he's going to envelop the whole world and give the world a huge squeeze for their oxygen. They're not going to be able to breathe, and he's going to take over the world. This beast is a creature from hell. They're showing us that the beast creature, the multi-tentacled creature, is now being released on the world. After that happened, toward the end of the closing ceremony, there was a segment, and I watched this a few weeks ago. You can go to YouTube, in fact, and find it. It's pretty long. It's 3 hours long, but you can go find it on YouTube. Closing ceremony, 2012 Summer Olympics. And in that closing ceremony toward the end, there was a dance that was performed by dancers, and these dancers were dressed in outfits where they looked like flames. Now, Doug, did you see the closing ceremony or those images? Did you have?
Yeah, we went over the. We did go over the Olympic footage and watched the different symbolisms and things that were projected to the viewing audience, which Paul McGuire's new book here, he says that 4.7 billion viewers worldwide, it was stated that viewed the Olympics, that watched the Olympics. Now, it goes on to say they didn't consciously understand the symbols and rituals, but they were present at their TV sets.
Okay, well, during that, the dance segment, it was right before the very end. The dancers, it was a 5 or 10 minute dance, and they were dancing in costumes that looked like fire. And then there was there were two dance teams. One of them was made up of a large group of dancers, and they had fire. They had fire on their head. And then there was a smaller group that did a solo type of act where they lifted the flames and they worshiped the flames and they loved the flames. And the flames were a part of the dance. Now, why did they do that? Here's why. Because the satanic Illuminati underworld gave a dark prophecy to the world that fire is coming to the world, to this planet. Fire. The beast is spreading its tentacles, and fire is coming. And it has to happen, because after they had that segment with the dancing, then the end started, and they showed the torches that were made up of 200 and I believe it was 203 or 204 torches, where the torches were turned off and they were laid down on the ground, and then the phoenix showed up over the torches. But before the torches were turned off, they had this giant phoenix. Doug, you remember, did you see that thing, a neon bird on fire, the flames? That
yes.
Huge phoenix? You can
yes.
Google, ladies and gentlemen, you can Google right now if you want, Phoenix Olympic ceremony, you'll see what I'm talking about. And then they had another person on a high wire come out, and they also had wings to look like a phoenix, and they had flames on them, and they had sparks under them, and it was very dramatic, but that was very symbolic, and it was placed in our face of what they plan to do to the world. And this is what it is. Fire's coming to the world's going to burn, and then the phoenix is going to rise. Well, how's that going to happen? What do you mean the phoenix? Well, the phoenix comes from the legendary myth about the thunderbird and the bird that burns and rises up out of the ashes. It's consumed, but then it comes back to life out of the flames, and then it comes with renewed vigor and power, and it gains its strength and health, and it once again has life. But first it has to die in flames. Flames are very important. Well, in order for Bible prophecy to happen, and let me bring Bible prophecy into this. We read in the book of Revelations that in chapter 13 that the New World Order beast is going to rise up. We see a political system, and then we also see a financial system. Those two things are going to happen to fulfill Revelation. So in order for that beast to rise up in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, the beast rose up out of the sea. The day before the beast rises up, there's going to be fire on the earth. Or the week before, the month. Maybe it's going to last for a year or two. But fire must occur before the New World Order rises up in its power, in its glory, in its satanic glory. So the fire that is coming needs to occur in two different areas. It needs to occur in the area of the political, so it's going to happen in war, and the financial system is going to find itself burning with fire. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Olympic ceremony was telling us that they're going to set and ignite the world on fire. And it's going to happen through war. That's coming. And the financial system is also going to find itself burning. Well, when we look at the world financial system, what is it based on? It's based on the dollar, the world's reserve currency. So the dollar's going to burn. And if the dollar burns, in order for the phoenix to rise up with a new currency, America's financial system is going to be toppled. It's going to burn. So when we go backwards and we look, okay, before the New World Order arrives, we have to see the flames come out rise up first, and then we have to see ashes, and then out of those ashes, we're going to see the phoenix rise up. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, and this merges, it brings all the parts together of the guests that are on this program, Doug, all the many guests that you have that bring you the great intel and the warnings and the information that they have to warn the people and to plead with them to get ready, to get their hearts right with God, because this thing is about to happen. It is approaching. And for those that say, well, it's calm right now, Nathan, so I guess I can relax. Well, there's always a calm before the storm. It's always calm before you lay all the demolition wires down and you're placing all the sticks of dynamite and C4 in the building. It's always quiet before you're getting ready for the big explosion. That's what's happening right now. They're laying all the demolition. The charges are being laid in America and the financial system. So there is a huge fire that's coming. And as I stated, fire is coming and fracturing is coming. I see that we're coming to the top of the hour pretty soon. Mr. Joe, Mr. Doug, I'm going to bring this all together and explain how some terrorist events are going to be coming to America and the Obama connection. I'm going to bring that together. I'm going to talk about how Muslims are going to be used in the coming terrorist attacks. Terrorism is coming to America. We're going to see a dark force of a new Muslim jihad, but we're going to see it onshore here in America. The Holy Spirit has revealed this, and also the Holy Spirit has shown me that world war is coming. The Muslim world is about to ignite worldwide, and Israel is going to be involved. The Muslim world is going to be involved, and America is going to be involved, and all of this is going to come together to bring Bible prophecy to fruition. The book of Zechariah is going to play out before our eyes, where Jerusalem's going to be the only one left. They're going to be left abandoned, which includes America. The Bible says that all the nations will come against Jerusalem. That's a prophecy in Zechariah. All. It doesn't say one, all the nations but one, meaning America is going to be left out. No, it says all are going to come against Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching Obama turn his back on Israel. We're watching prophecy take place. We're living in very, very volatile times. So that's what I'm going to talk about in the second hour, Mr. Joe and Doug. So I'll stop right there and let you do your remarks.
Well, very good. I just want to add something here real quick, to Nathan. And to people listening to this, really, everyone should study the Olympics, the opening and closing ceremonies of the Olympics. This was certainly an Illuminati ritual, a Luciferian ritual, a display of the future plans that they have, this Luciferian agenda. And it was an incredible blatant display of symbolism. If you look at some of the things that Nathan talked about, now, by the way, this was the most watched television event in U.S. history. It was called the biggest show on earth, if you recall. In fact, the 2012 Olympics itself was the second most watched event in American TV history. 211 million people watched it. And folks, just understand, from the weird sculpture outside of the stadium, we can begin there. This odd sculpture is a very tall sculpture, to the torches, to the obvious biblical connections. And remember, Lucifer is a copycat. And there was a symbolism of fire, and there was symbolism of many symbols that would, if you look at it, and if you look at it against the template of the Luciferian agenda, you'll understand. And we can get into this some other program. I'm not going to take up Nathan's time, but I think it's very important. And by the other thing, too, that Nathan mentioned, I was talking to a source last night, a friend of mine, and it's all about the blood. This is all about the blood. Folks, don't forget that the blood of Jesus Christ defeats sin. And, the blood defeats Satan as well. So that's why blood is so important. Folks, you're listening to the hype. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just want to say this, about the build-up, the spiritual intensity build-up, the best way I've heard it described is as a storm. You know, when you're in a rainstorm and it's drizzling, You can go from drizzling and get some gusts of wind. Before you know it, you could be in a, you know, that storm could build up with torrential downpours and tornado-like weather in the blink of an eye. So when we say the calm before the storm, we are in the storm, and the storm will get rough. It is just a matter of how fast is it going to take till we get there. Just like the economy, we know it's going to collapse. We know it can't sustain itself. Just we don't know when and how it's going to collapse. But we know these things are coming. And with that, we're going to go to our break. Folks, you're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report with Nathan Liao. Visit his website at watchmanscry.com. Sign up to be a member of his forum and bookmark the site to check up on the latest audio and article messages that are given there. It is a fantastic site. We'll be right back after these short messages. We are going to play again News in 2 minutes, brought to you by Full Spectrum Survival and also a word from our sponsor. So stay with us. We'll be right back in a few short minutes.
Folks, Doug Hagman here for AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Christmas a week away. Perhaps one of the best gifts you can give to a loved one, a friend, a family member, neighbor, whoever. It is a gift of survival, a gift of long-term food storage, a gift of, well, something practical, something that will be used or still be viable 10, 15, 20 years from now. I'm thinking of Linden Farms, the 7-day food supply. Folks, you can get this for under $100, $90 as a matter of fact. And if you mention Hagman and Hagman, it's $80. All you have to do, go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, click on the store tab, and from there, just browse. Go through the different sections of the store, the long-term food storage, the survival items, the first aid supplies, the books. There's something for everyone with times upon us and the times in which we live. It's important that we start thinking responsibly. And you know what? Acting responsibly. So let's do it. Tonight, after the show, tomorrow, whenever, but do it soon. We don't know how long we have. We don't know if this is our last show. We don't know if our last show is going to be a week from now or a month from now. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, or we certainly don't know what next year is going to bring. There's uncertainty everywhere. Wouldn't you feel a little bit better having your pantry just a little bit better stocked, or your survival supplies a little bit better stocked? I think you might. Folks, visit AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them Doug and Joe sent you.
Japanese media organizations are beginning to understand and disclose the long-term dangers associated with the disaster at the Fukushima nuclear site, with varying outlets discussing the potentially catastrophic effects of long-term radiation exposure that is brought about by the ingestion of radioactive material not just within a year's period, but over the next 15 to 20 years. Researchers warn that there are no viable solutions to the continuation of radioactive water being dumped into the ocean or leaking into the sea through contaminated soil, and that the exponential effect of the leaks may have disastrous effects on local and global marine life. Analysts report that a government panel has addressed a portion of the long-term outlook for containment at the plant, and that the panel warned that even with the countermeasures that are currently being put into place to slow the contamination, the agency will not be able to fully address the risks of the water leaks by the end of the year 2020. As citizens in China worriedly await new cases of the H7N9 avian flu, the Chinese Center for Health Protection is warning all residents and visitors that have traveled throughout the affected areas to wear facial masks and seek immediate medical attention if suffering from flu-like symptoms. The warning comes as border control checkpoints are being put into place to scan all residents and travelers for signs of fever and fatigue, where officials will isolate and transfer any suspected cases to the quarantine sectors of nearby hospitals. Reports show that nations around the world are experiencing a sharp increase in food prices, with many countries showing a surge in inflation due to the higher costs of both food and living expenses. Analysts are warning that the cost of food may continue to outpace the average salary until at least 2018, and that fresh produce and meat may become luxury items for most of the developed world in the not-too-distant future. Research on the subject shows a parallel between high food prices and weakening economies with widespread discontent, as economists echo the expectations of experts that we may see an increase in social unrest as prices continue to climb. And to wrap things up, scientists warn that Asian sewage treatment plants are producing superbugs thought to be a worldwide threat. South Korean intelligence shows that North Korea may be preparing for a nuclear test. And continued research on the magma chamber that sits beneath the caldera at Yellowstone shows that the volcano's next and likely cataclysmic eruption could strike with the force of over 2,000 times the size of the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens in Washington State. And that's it for this episode of News in 2 Minutes. Check back tomorrow for more news that the aware need the most.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, folks. Hour number 3 of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this, the 18th day of December 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. In studio with me is Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to say this. I got to tell you, President and Pharaoh, identical meeting in different languages. Just think about that, folks, especially when you're talking about Obama. And how many times has Obama been referred to as Pharaoh? In fact, he was referred to as Pharaoh by my Department of Homeland Security source. That's what they were calling him. And, of course, he was publicly referred to as Pharaoh in a number of venues when in his overseas travels. Interesting, right? I think so. Our very special guest tonight is Mr. Nathan Leal. By the way, folks, Nathan shared with us during the first hour his physical impairment is the fact that he has lupus. And during this show, Nathan, I've got to tell you, I've received a number of people very concerned about you, saying they're praying for you. Also, a couple of people who said, you know what, I've got lupus as well. And others, and they said, it's not a very easy road health-wise, and they are praying for you. And we're also supposed to remind you, Nathan, that you've got a job to do, so you're not allowed to quit. There's no resignation papers, and you are fulfilling your duties as a watchman without blemish. You should be proud. So thank you so much for being a part of our extended family, certainly a part of the Watchman's group. And your website, Watchman's Cry. Folks, bookmark watchmanscry.com. It's hard linked up on HomelandSecurityUS.com. Thanks for being with us, Joe.
All right. We have Nathan Leal with us, watchmanscry.com. Definitely check out his website. His newest audio series, Overcomer, The Overcomer. Is that correct, Nathan? I keep messing that up.
Yes, The Overcomer Series.
The Overcomer Series. Okay. Yeah, that is a great listen. I think December 13th you posted it. Folks, I would urge everybody to listen to that audio series, the first part at watchmanscry.com. It was a fantastic and very interesting audio. And like I said, I kept pausing it and was taking notes, and it was it had my attention. So check that out. It is well worth it. And I'll give it back to you, Nathan, and we'll take it where you want to go.
All right, and I appreciate your kind words, Mr. Doug. And for all the listeners and the prayers of support and the emails of support, I also appreciate that. And Doug, thank you. I tell you what, there's nowhere else to go. So I plan to be up on this wall as long as I can. And I hope that I didn't imply that, you know, I only have a month left or you know, a few weeks. I'm not meaning to imply that, because some lupus sufferers can live for years, and then some don't, and you never know. So my life is a life of faith. So my life is in his hands, but I am praying. In fact, I made it known and when I announced this, I'm asking God to give me enough time to see my daughter grow up and get married and have kids, and she's 7 years old right now. So that's my prayer. The only challenge will be to just be able to limp along and do the assignment, you know, climbing up on the ladder and getting up on the wall. At times, it aches on the joints, but I'm going to be trying and enacting some of the suggestions from many of the listeners. And as I mentioned earlier, I had a lot of suggestions. So, listeners, I appreciate that. And if I didn't answer your email, I still read it. I took your information to heart. I have been going to some of the links that you're showing me. So I do know that there are things that we can do to try to sustain and put aside some of the aches and pains and just hang in there. So I am going to be trying some of those. So just so everyone knows. And for the record, I am not doing any medication or drugs. I believe when I first, if my memory serves right, in the 03s when I first found out and the doctor gave me a prescription of prednisone, the steroid, and I took it for one day, or it might have been 2 days, and my back just started hurting like crazy. Doug, you ever taken steroids or prednisone? Oh, it hurts your back. And I looked at some of the side effects, yeah. And I said, there is no way I'm not taking this thing. And it was, I think it was during that season, or it might have been near it, when I saw the story about Jerry Lewis. He was taking a steroid, and it made him get real bloated, and it had a bad side effect on him also. So I am not taking any drugs, so that the people know. Natural remedies I am trying to do, though. So just for the record. And trying to watch the diet as well. So I appreciate all the diet suggestions.
Absolutely. And we're thankful. And certainly, you know, there was no implication of anything being hyped up. It's just, you know, it's interesting because we're a family. The way I look at it is the guests that we bring on, at least 99% of them, we're family. And, you know, we care about each other. And everyone listening to this program, we're all family. That's the way I look at it anyway. You know, we have to lift one another up because we all have to stick together. These are very trying times that are coming. And we can't leave people. And this is the other thing, too, Nathan, I just want to slip in here. We cannot leave people feeling helpless, because I don't think that the helpless is appropriate, because we know how the story ends. Oh, there are going to be tough times, bumpy roads, my goodness, turbulence in the skies, but we're going to make it through this. We just have to occupy, push on, play our zone, play our positions that we're supposed to play, read our own mail, as one of my friends likes to say, and I agree with that, and then act as instructed on faith and on intellect. So that's what we have to do, and I think as long as we keep doing that, as long as we stick together and do that, we've got a fighting chance, more than a fighting chance, because, well, if we're true to the Word of God, then God's on our side, and we're on God's side. I mean, we have to be on God's side, or else he's not going to be on our side. So just want to say thank you so much for being a watchman. Now, last hour you left off, we were talking about the Olympics and the high strangeness around that, and, of course, the symbology there, and about Obama, and about the what's coming. So you go ahead and just get right into your next issue here, or your next area.
Thank you, Mr. Doug. Thank you. I want to bring together I laid a foundation of some of the points in the previous hour about the coming fire, the reckoning's coming, God's judgment, the visitation is on the map. There's no way out of that one. And the players that are going to be involved in this thing, we're starting to observe them on the world stage. We can see them. Obama's one of the big players. And now I want to talk about how some of these things are going to come to fruition, because I believe that I have been able to find, and I'm going to share it, some scriptures that show us how some of these things are going to happen. Now, a quick flashback. On September the 21st of this year, a terrorist group attacked a shopping mall in Kenya. Doug, do you remember that? In Nairobi, Kenya, they had
a
terrorist.
Yep.
It was horrible, and over 65 people, innocent people, were killed, plus 5 of the terrorists were killed. And the group that was responsible for this is an al-Qaeda spinoff from Somalia, and they're called Al-Shabaab. And you spell Shabaab, S-H-A-B-A-A-B. Now, Al-Shabaab is made up of a Muslim militant group from Somalia, and they splintered from al-Qaeda. They were an offshoot. They took credit for this, and there are very imposing group of angry young people, because that's actually what Al-Shabaab means. It means in Arabic, the party of the youth, or the youth, Shabaab in Arabic. So the side note of this is I'm going to talk about this because I believe that that event was very, very profound, and it, in a way, was a sign. It was a dark sign, and it was a symbolic sign to show anyone that had the eyes to see what's about to happen in America and in a large portion of the world. Now, God wants us to know what's coming. God, ladies and gentlemen, God wants you knowing. He doesn't want you caught in the dark. And I'm not going to share these things just to scare you. It's to warn so that you can have something to pray about and so that you can be encouraged and challenged to get your heart right. But Al-Shabaab is a Somalian wing of Al-Qaeda. And they were, most of the time, they're orphan kids and kids that are recruited in the inner city of Somalia. And they're brainwashed, and they're filled with hatred, and they're showed the way of terrorism. So, by the way, side note, Al-Shabaab is also, from some reports that I've been able to gather, they have been recruiting in portions of the United States, including Minnesota and Michigan. I don't know if you have intel that has talked about that, Doug, but in my research, that's what I've been able to find. Now, why
that's
am I bringing
correct.
Them up?
Boy.
Here's why. Al-Shabaab is made up of, number one, they're Muslim. They're a militant group, they're terrorists, and they splintered, keep those words in mind, they splintered from Al-Qaeda. In fact, if you do some of the research on them, it says that. They are a splinter cell from Al-Qaeda. And it's reported when they went into that shopping mall in Kenya, it's reported that they went up to the different people and they demanded the people. They ordered them to recite words from the Quran in order to see if the people were Muslim. And the people that couldn't recite words from the Quran were killed because they were aiming at people that were not Muslim, at Christians and non-Muslims. Now, why does that matter? Well, the whys and the hows of this event could be an entire program. We could talk about their political statement and how they're mad at the Kenyan government and some of the other surrounding governments. And I don't want to stray away from that, but I want to keep it on the main theme of why this thing is very important and why we need to take note of it. And because I believe that God was showing us, and also, for those that have the eyes to see, what's coming. Now, this massacre that happened is a harbinger. It happened in a shopping mall, and as I mentioned some of these points, ladies and gentlemen, make note of some of the key points that I'm bringing up because I believe it's going to play a role in our future. This massacre took place in, number one, the home country of Obama, Kenya. Now, I'm just going to go on from the state of truth and reality that Obama's from Kenya. So we're going from there, okay, Mr. Doug and Joe? So that's marker number one. The massacre took place in Obama's home country, Kenya. And it took place, and here's another very, very important key point. The name of the shopping mall was called the West Gate Mall. Now, think about those words for a moment. The West and Gate. Now, let's dissect this. The event occurred, if we were to look at the shopping mall, the name itself speaks volumes. It occurred in the West. So we here in America are in the West. The entryway of America, the gateway to the West or the USA is on this side of the gateway to the West. We just had an attack of great significance by Muslim terrorists acting on Obama's home soil. So we have the Kenya connection through Obama, we have the West Gate, we have a shopping mall, and it goes on. The West Gate Mall, now watch this, Doug, this is very interesting. The West Gate Mall in Nairobi is located in the Westlands District of Nairobi. So not only the name again is showing us the significant, profound, in-our-face signature that this is a harbinger. In the Westlands, the neighborhood in Nairobi. Now, these things are not an accident, and I do not believe for a second that they're accident. The powers of evil are waving their intentions in front of us, and they're doing it right in our face. They're doing it bluntly. And I'm not saying that Al-Shabaab is going to be the terrorist group that's going to be involved in terrorism here in the United States. They could. But I'm saying that this event is a template for a terrorist event that's coming to America, because we saw it happen over there. And when this event comes to America, see, for some reason, and I don't know what their laws and their rules are, Doug, maybe you can help me out here. I don't know why the Satanist Illuminati powers of darkness love to announce what they're doing in our face in advance. Do they have to, or do they just like to boast about it in advance? Or I don't know, but it seems that when we look back at history and many of the events that have occurred terrorist-wise, we have seen the harbingers that were already showing, and we have seen that they loved revealing it, and they did it on dates. The number numerology involved in this thing is very profound. So why do they do this? I don't know. But being that we know they do this, I believe that we have to pay attention to what happened in Nairobi, because, again, the Westgate Mall, we have Amal talked about, we have terrorism, Al-Shabaab, the Splinter Cell, the Kenya connection with Obama. So Obama is going to be in the loop with the terrorism that comes here to America, because his home country was in the loop. So when terrorism comes here, he's going to be involved somehow. That's the number one thing that I need to say. It's going to involve also terrorist Muslims, a terrorist cell. Also, it's going to involve the killing and slaughter of innocent blood. And we talked about in the second hour the shedding of blood. They need blood to be spilled to continue their power, their desire for power and significance, and in order to continue in their position, they have to continue offering the innocent ones. So terrorism is actually a slaughter on the altar to Satan. 9/11 was a satanic sacrifice, because a lot of innocent people were killed. And when we look at a lot of the massacres that have occurred over time here in America, especially the Sandy Hook thing and the school and in other locations, school shootings, why do they happen over and over with children? It's because it's a sacrifice to Satan. And a lot of people see, they bring up the connection, well, it's because it's against guns and they're trying to come against the Second Amendment, and it's because of antidepressants. Yes, those things play a role, but in the spiritual realm, bottom line, when people die, it's a sacrifice on the altar to Satan. So when terrorism comes to America, it's going to be a sacrifice on the altar to Satan. And this thing is going to happen in a public venue. And it could happen either in a shopping mall or perhaps some type of place where a lot of people gather. And this is a part that is going to be very sad when it occurs, because after it occurs, we will have afterthoughts. We will have the armchair quarterbacks. We'll have those discussing the failures and the whys and the conspiracies and the rogue elements that made it happen. We're going to talk about the whys after and point fingers and blame. But in the spiritual realm, it's because there's a satanic carnage of evil that is going to be visiting America. It's coming. And this thing is also going to be a part of the divine visitation, and God's going to allow it to happen because we kicked God's hand out of America. We kicked his hedge of protection. Doug, did you see that story about the cross being removed from the Veterans Memorial? I mean,
yes.
What nonsense.
In San Diego, yeah.
Why? Why do the atheists have to just, why do they have to have their little crusade? What does it matter to them? Well, it's because Satan's behind this thing. Anything to attack the cross, anything to attack the name of Christ or Jesus or Christianity, it's a constant battle, but over and over, Christianity is on the losing end, and Christians are on the losing end, and we are already seeing Christians being butchered in Syria. Those rebels that Obama supports are butchering Christians. And where's the outcry? Where's the anger from the administration? Where's the backpedaling saying, uh-oh, maybe I'm supporting the wrong side? Where is that? This is, it's crazy. It makes no sense. But for this reason, I have to sound a loud alarm on the next wave that is coming. Now, I want to take those of you that have your Bible in front of you to a scripture, and I'm going to bring something to the light that I believe was begun as a warning several decades ago. And I want to give credit right now to our dearly beloved late brother, the watchman, the prophet, the precious dear man of God, David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson was a prophet of God. He never called himself that, but he was, and he was a watchman. God showed him things. And in the 1970s, he wrote a book called The Vision, and then he followed it up with several other books. One of them was called Set Thy Trumpet to Thy Mouth, and he wrote it a few years later. And that book was based on what God showed Brother Wilkerson. His Brother Wilkerson also believed that America was Babylon and America was going to be judged. He preached it, and when he did it 40 years ago, he was made fun of, he was mocked, he was scoffed. A lot of his peers, his colleagues in the ministry, they dismissed him and they made fun of him, etc. He blazed the trail, and it's no different today. The fundamental establishment will deny that and fight against it, but nevertheless, we're watching it happen, aren't we, gentlemen? Judgment's here. We're living it. We see it. And Brother Wilkerson wrote a book called Set Thy Trumpet to Thy Mouth, and the main verse for this book was from the book of Hosea chapter 8. So I want to read verse 1, and he didn't go into the entire chapter. He just read from verse 1, and then he created a book, and he talked about a lot of the backsliding and sadness and horrible things that were coming upon America, and he wrote about it in a sorrowful, grievous manner. And he said because of that, God was going to judge America. So if you have your Bibles in the book of Hosea, I want to read chapter from chapter 8, verse 1. Set thy trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Now, at first glance, some people may say, well, this is talking about Israel, Nathan. It doesn't apply to America, because verse 2 says, Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected the good, the enemy will pursue him. So the fundamental evangelicals will say, this is about Israel, it doesn't apply to America. But let me go back and let's revisit verse 1, because, ladies and gentlemen, prophecies that have to do with the nation of Israel against Jacob, against Ephraim, and against God's people, Judah, Israel, his people, over and over we can see that they are layered and they are also indictments against the church, because we're told in 1 Corinthians that the things that happened to Israel are examples for the church, and let us not walk in the same footsteps, because God doesn't want to have to deal with us like he did with Israel, but unfortunately he does, because in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I have these things against you, church number 1, number 2, number 3, and he mentions some of the grievances of the church in Revelation as he writes to the seven churches. And he lists some of the ailments of those churches, and he shows them how to fix them. So God is, in addition to him showing us our ailments and our problems, he shows us the solution. And in Revelation, he says, however, because I love you, I'm going to do this or that. I will chastise you. I chastise those that I love. He says that to the Laodicean church. But every one of the churches in Revelation, Jesus finishes with, to him that overcomes. So even though you're struggling right now, church, be an overcomer and rise above it. So when we look at Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, set the trumpet to your mouth. Thy mouth. This is talking to the watchman. Watchman, set the trumpet. Sound the alarm. Sound it loud, because judgment is coming. God is going to come like an eagle against who? Look at the remainder of the sentence, ladies and gentlemen. Against the house of the Lord. Key words. House of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. Same words. So this isn't an accident. This is also talking about the church. It's talking about the end time church. It's talking about how the end time church is also going to endure the chastisement of God in the end times. And Brother Wilkerson understood this, and he wrote a book about it. Now, when I was seeking God over the last few months, when that massacre happened in Kenya, I asked God that if there was a sign, did it mean something? God, is there something here? And the Holy Spirit said, yes. And I said, what? And the Holy Spirit said, who did the massacre? And I said, I don't know. Look it up. So I looked it up. Al-Shabaab did it. I had to read about it. And then I said, okay, now what? You need to research the word Shabaab, Al-Shabaab. Oh, okay, God, how? Look it up. And see, that's how God deals with me, Doug. He doesn't give us the answers. He wants us studying. He'll give us maybe a one-word thing or several words, but he makes us do the homework. That's the way it's supposed to be. So I got online, and I got on the computer Bible that I have in my computer and the online Blue Letter Bible, and I started researching that word, Shabaab. And I started knowing in my heart, this word is in Scripture. I know it is. God, you're telling me this because it's in the Bible. So where is it, God? Show me. And so it took a while for me to find it, but guess what, Mr. Doug? The word Shabaab is found in this chapter, Hosea verse 8 about the judgment on America. And when we look at this chapter, we can see that it's a multi-layered meaning both to America and to Israel, that judgment has been declared. The watchmen have to declare that judgment's coming. So this verse applies to the church as well as to America in our time. And this is very pivotal because Hosea talks about the indictment against God's people. Hosea tells us that God's people are stubborn and they're rebellious. In fact, in Hosea, a few chapters earlier in Hosea 4, and if you have your Bible, look at chapter 4, verse 16. It says, Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. That's Israel. Or, in other words, God's people. Or, in other words, the church is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. And can we add, America is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. And they also had this problem. Israel in the days of old had the same problem that the Christians today in our time have. They are a people with many idols. And when we go back to chapter 8, on verse 6, it says, "For from Israel is even this, a workman made it, it's not of God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces." Now, the word Samaria in the scripture represents the Gentiles, because Samaritans were not of pure Jewish blood from Abraham. They were a mixed breed of people, and we can read about that in scripture when Jesus was on earth. They were mistreated. The Good Samaritan, of course, showed how the people of God were an embarrassment. So God showed that the Samaritans were the Gentiles who were going to also be offered salvation. And when the Samaritan woman came and wanted to be healed, Jesus, over and over, we see instances where a Roman or a Samaritan or someone that was not of Jewish blood, a Gentile, had more faith than God's people. So God is showing us that the Gentiles do deserve salvation, and he loves the Gentiles. So here when we read the word Samaria, it's talking about the Gentiles. It's talking about the church. It's talking about the people of the world. So in verse 6, the calf of Samaria, of the Gentiles, which are also of God's people, shall be broken to pieces. Now, why am I bringing that up? Here's why. Now, folks, please hear this. Samaria will be broken to pieces. I call this program the reckoning, the fire, and the fracturing. That word, pieces, right here in Hosea, and I don't know if you're already ahead of me, Doug, or Joe, if you have your Bible in front of you, your computer Bible, that word for pieces is called Shabaab. It's the same word of these terrorists from Kenya. And the context that this word is being used in is that Samaria, the land, and the stubborn calf of the land. So let me translate this. Let me put it into paraphrase terms and translate it for us. The calf, the golden calf, the idols of America, of those that are wayward from God in America, are going to be broken to pieces. The things, the idols that people hold above God in America are going to be broken to pieces. That word Shabaab means pieces. Now, how interesting is it that the terrorist group Al-Shabaab splintered, fractured from Al-Qaeda. The terrorist group is involved with the same type of word. So this word, Shabaab, means broken pieces. It means to splinter. It means to be fragmented. So is this a coincidence? I don't believe so. I believe what this is saying is, let me bring it home right here, Doug. The scriptures are revealing here in Hosea 8 that judgment is coming to our land. Brother Wilkerson saw it 40 years ago, and he wrote a book about it. Set thy judgment to thy mouth, the trumpet to thy mouth, because judgment is going to come to the house of the Lord, and it's going to come to America, and America is going to be fractured into pieces. It's going to be splintered. It's going to find itself broken. Now, what would be the cause of the land being judged and fractured? Well, look at the next verse in Hosea 8:8. I'm sorry, verse 7. They sow to the wind, but they will reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, it shall never produce meal, and if it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. Now, this is talking about the people who are sowing in their own way to God. They think that they are making communication with God. Today's church, the big box churches, are a joke. They think that they are pleasing God when they're not. They're not feeding the flock. They have empty cisterns that do not hold water, and they're sowing to the wind. And as a result of that, there are people are being led astray. They're blind. They're broken. They're not being healed. And because of that, they are not leaving their sinful nature. They're not being led by many of today's leaders to find victory over the ailments of the flesh. And as a result, they're going to listen to lies and to twisted doctrine. And we're going to see the prophecies fulfilled that we read about in Thessalonians and Timothy, that they will heap upon themselves false teachers who tickle their ears. And as a result, because they didn't have a love for the truth, they're going to fall for a lie. They're going to be deceived. And when they're deceived, they're going to reap the whirlwind. They will not have fruit. The stalk has no bud. There's no fruit. They will not have any food to eat. But if they should have food, this is a multi-layered prophecy right here. Aliens will swallow it up. What aliens? What aliens could possibly come into America and swallow up America's goodness and harvest and good things? Well, invader aliens, imposter aliens, people from another land like, should we say, Kenya, Mr. Doug? You know, Obama fits a portion of this, but there's more, because part of the judgment that's coming on America is that invasion. It's right here, aliens. Obama's buddies are aliens. They are not citizens, so they're considered. I'm not talking about aliens from outer space. I'm talking about illegals that are not U.S. citizens. Obama's buddies, the Chinese and the Russians, the aliens are going to come and swallow up the meals of America. And they're going to consume it, and then what's going to happen? Well, I'm looking at the clock, 7:37. If we quickly move to the end of this chapter, the very last sentence of this chapter, what are we going to see happen in judgment? Well, we saw the Olympic ceremony announce it, and we saw the underworld and the chiefs of the dark incarnate beings announce it, that they're going to bring the phoenix in fire in order for their New World Order system to come forth. They have to burn the world and the money system and portions of the world, including America. Well, the very last sentence in Hosea says, I will send fire upon his cities, and it shall devour his palaces. So here's the conclusion, ladies and gentlemen. Terrorism and fire and fracturing is going to come, and we're going to find the United States broken into pieces. A breaking is coming to America. We're going to see America shaken, but not just shaken. It's going to be fractured. Now, could this happen in the physical sense as well? Possibly. Go ahead.
Well, just to supplement what you said, don't forget George Washington's vision of all of the great cities being in flames, save for the countryside dwellers. Just remember that, you know, as far as the potential physical devastation of the United States. Again, George Washington, the first president of our country, had a vision, all of the great cities in flames, save for the countryside.
Indeed. And when we look at how it's going to happen, Satan, again, I brought it up, and I'm not trying to give credit to him. He's a liar, of course, but he also likes to gloat, and he's arrogant and full of himself. So he likes to just put it in the face, look what I did to you. And so too do some of his imps. And some of these events of the shootings, for example, that Colorado thing was very profound, the Joker thing. Dark Knight Rising right there is profound.
Oh, yeah.
But the Joker coming in, you know, the Joker's wild. The Joker comes in and has several things up his sleeve. He has several powers. It's hard to beat the Joker because he's very conniving and sneaky. The Joker came in on the side door, and in this instant, in this context, I consider Obama to be the Joker because he's in the natural, Mr. Doug. The guy's goofy. If he didn't get the free pass that he has, would he be a marvelous, clever person full of wisdom that people fill up stadiums to hear talk? I mean, really? No, he's silly.
No.
He's goofy. But at first, of course, he had some good speechwriters in round one, the first election, and they said he's a great orator, or, you know, they said that he was a great speech person. And then, I don't know, did he fire the guy? But his speeches kind of went downhill since then, and now he just does it on the fly and off the cuff, and we see how he really speaks. He's goofy. So he's a joker, but he has this free pass. Why? It's because he's in this position that I've talked about. It's a demonic spiritual placement from the powers of darkness that God is allowing. Now, when this fracturing comes and this fire comes, again, he's going to play a role. Now, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, I have seen too much evidence. And, Doug, I believe we're like-minded in this part of our attribute. We have to have enough proof before we'll say it is. We don't just listen to a rumor. Prove it to
right.
me, right? We have to
That's
see it.
Right.
Okay, we've seen too much proof from the sheriff down in Arizona, as well as other individuals, that Obama is a Muslim as well as a fraud. He's not a citizen. He's from Kenya. He has intentions that are not in the interests of America. His intents are multifaceted. They're satanic. They're communistic. They're socialist. They're for the destruction of America. And they're of those that are sympathetic to the Muslim cause. They're against Israel. They're to bring about world war. They're to give favor to Russia and China. Multifaceted. And every one of these points could be a Hollywood movie of doom. But that's where we are. So Obama has a spirit in him that favors the Muslims, and this thing is going to incubate, and then it's going to hatch, and then we're going to watch the next phase that's coming to America. Now, Obama just passed his fifth year, I believe, so he has 3 years left and some change, or maybe it's a little less than 3 years. Or it's pretty close. Am I getting, okay, January? That's around 3 years
yeah,
of change, right?
About 3 years.
In a month?
Yeah.
In the remaining 3 years, barring that he dethrones and gets impeached, and barring that something happens, which at this point I don't know. I don't see how, because I believe he's making his handlers very happy, and they're well on the way to destroying the country. Barring that, the next phase that's coming is going to be the fracture and the fire phase. And that phase is going to involve, and this is where I want to get to another vision that I had. Now, I'm going to go pretty quickly because I see the clock. We've got a little less than 20 minutes, but let me mention this. And when I mention this, I'm pretty sure this is going to open a whole can of worms. It's going to get a lot of people thinking. You might get some comments from individuals who may agree or say this is nutty and crazy, but here it goes, Mr. Doug. I had a prophetic dream several weeks ago. I was over the city of Jerusalem, and I was in the air looking down at the Dome of the Rock, the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem. Most of your listeners don't know what this is, the Golden Dome, the Muslim hut that was stolen from the Israel, right? Okay, I'm looking at this thing. The Dome of the Rock, and then the dome started to shake. The entire building started to vibrate, and then a crack formed on the top, and it went down both sides of the dome, went down the sides of the structure, and it started to separate from it became two parts, and it started to move away from itself. And then I could see through the ground, through the dirt, and I saw a bunch of walls and tunnels. It looked like I was looking at a maze or a labyrinth under the Dome of the Rock. The whole Temple Mount became a labyrinth of mazes. And as I was looking at it, I thought to myself, huh, there's tunnels underground. Wow, that's really? I didn't know that. And then I saw that there were tunnels that went past the Temple Mount that were also in the outer, in the areas that touched the Temple Mount and went into the possession of Israel, of Jerusalem. There were also tunnels under there. And I started seeing the walls of the tunnels started to move around. The tunnel walls started rearranging, and eventually they started coming together so that a hole started to form. And what had happened was the two parts of the Dome of the Rock started to slide apart from each other until they were about maybe 40 or 50 feet apart, the two halves of the Dome of the Rock. And then under the ground, the walls of the tunnel started to move to also form a big hole that was under the Dome of the Rock. So the Dome of the Rock was on each side, and then it formed a pit. The tunnel walls got narrow and narrow till right under the Dome of the Rock was a big square that went down 30 feet. It was a big hole, and then on each side of the upper portion on the ground were both halves of the Dome of the Rock. It was broken in half. And then I saw that the parts of the land that were away from the Temple Mount started also rearranging. So the tunnel walls in Jerusalem started moving further and further away, creating a big space underground to get away from the Temple Mount, from the Dome of the Rock. It was like the Jewish walls didn't want to be near the Muslim walls of the Dome of the Rock. There was a span. So I'm looking at this thing, and I'm in the air looking down, and I'm going, what in the world does this mean? There was a separation that was happening, and then I'm looking at this hole in the ground. It's like a 30-foot, it went down 30 feet, big, and it was probably 40 feet by 50 feet. It was a big square hole, like a foundation of a building is going to get built there. I'm looking at this hole, and then I saw a creature start rising through the dirt. He wasn't physical. He was a spirit. So he came through the dirt at the bottom of the hole, and he kept rising, and this creature was huge. When he finally rose all the way out to it so that his feet were above the portion of the ground, he stopped rising, and he just stayed in the bottom in that big hole. He was 20 to 30 feet tall, Mr. Doug. A huge creature. He was a spirit, but this spirit was blue. He wasn't a man. He was a demonic entity with blue skin, and he had a turban on his head. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going, what in the world? What is that? And then I heard a voice from the heavens say, Imam. And then my dream was over. So when I woke up, I lied in bed thinking about it, and it made no sense to me because I said, okay, now this prophetic dream has so much to it. First of all, what's with all the tunnels under the Dome of the Rock? Are there a bunch of tunnels under there? And then what's with all the tunnels outside the borders of the Dome of the Rock underground also? And why did the walls of the tunnels separate? Why did the Jewish tunnels get away from the Muslim tunnels? And why in the world would a demonic creature rise up under the Dome of the Rock? Because according to popular theory, the Dome of the Rock is the location of where the old temple used to be. That's a holy site for the Jews, for God's people, from the Bible. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, according to what I just witnessed, that's not a holy site for this creature to rise up. So I then started wondering to myself, is it possible that the Dome of the Rock is not in the correct spot where they think the old temple was? Is it? I asked that question to myself. I tried to get online and find if there's any theories about that, and I couldn't really find anything, so I don't know. But based on what I saw, Doug, that area, that ground is now defiled. It's desolate, and it's polluted, and it's a portal to the underworld, and the spirit of the Imam is going to come out from that location. Now, I'm not saying the Dome of the Rock is going to be fractured and cut in half. I'm just saying in the spiritual realm, that's going to play a role in a demonic portal that is going to open, and a Muslim spirit's going to come through that's going to be fueled with the Muslim cause, that's going to emphasize and sympathize with the Muslim ways, and this thing is going to rise up and be released on the world. Now, the belief of the Mahdi Imam, the Persians, the Iranians, and the Muslims, they're waiting for their savior, their rescue guy. And he's supposed to be the 12th one. He's going to rise up, and he's going to only show up, though, according to their writings, after flames are in the earth, after there's war, world war, after, and basically after they're losing the war. Based on what I'm reading, I believe the old president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, he was believing that the imam was going to show up very soon, but he also believed that he was going to show up in flames, after fire, after war. So because of that, the Muslim community would not have a problem with them, their own cities and countries being on fire. They would not have a problem if they're losing, because they believe that's the only way that their savior, the imam, is going to show up. That being the case, they have a very large motivation to bring this guy out, and they have a motivation to allow themselves to get bombed by America or to start a war with America or with the West. It wouldn't bother them to anger America and to cause a war to happen with America or with the West. And that brings us back to the Muslim connection of Obama. Obama's a Muslim. He sympathizes with the Muslim cause. He is allied with the Muslim Brotherhood. He's allied with the terrorists in Syria, as well as many others. And who knows how many others that he's friends with. One of his handlers is Valerie Jarrett, who's an Iranian who has sympathy toward the Iranian cause. So we have in our house already the template, the creation, the factions. We have the treasonous spies, the treasonous people against America occupying the White House right now, Doug. And you know this, but what I'm saying right here is the Holy Spirit showed me this. I saw that this thing's going to get released. So let's bring it all home. What does it mean? I believe that if this creature has not been released already, it's about to happen. And we may or we may not hear about it publicized. Maybe the Muslims will talk about it and say he's released, or we have glimpses, there have been some sightings of him, etc., or there's some suspicions of it. I don't know how they're going to talk about it, but the next wave of fire is coming. God's going to let it happen, and the Muslims are going to play a huge role in this thing. Now, since Obama is already here, he's inside the theater, and he's going to open the side door and allow his Muslim buddies to come in, illegals who are Muslims, the cells, the terrorists that have already been allowed to come in, as well as rogue elements that are here in America. The next phase that is coming is going to be a terrorist attack on our shores. And because Obama's a Muslim and because he knows that this thing has to happen to bring about the Mahdi, he's for it. Now, he wouldn't say that publicly, but since we have seen him recite words from the Quran and given allegiance to all their festivals and celebrations and holy days, when he ignores our festivals and our holy days and our things that we have here in our culture, when he chooses them over us, it's obvious he's a Muslim. So the next phase is coming, and this is why I have to sound the alarm for everybody that's listening. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not know the day before it happens that it's going to happen, but it's going to happen on a morning when we don't expect it. We're going to be shocked. Some of you will be driving to work. You'll hear it on the news, in your car, in your radio. Some of us will hear it on the internet with emails, on cell calls, with texts. It's going to go worldwide very quickly that a big terrorist attack happened, and it's, again, going to be a sacrifice of innocent blood of a lot of people. It's going to involve terrorists. And when it happens, then it's going to be too late for many of us to do our preparations. It's going to be too late for us to get right with God. And here's the other thing. It's going to be at some location or several locations in this country. So this means that the statistics are going to involve names. The names are going to involve real humans. Those real humans are going to be related to moms and dads and brothers and sisters and children. Those are going to be real people. So who are they going to be? Are they going to be people that you know? Could they be your children, my children? This is the other homework, and God made this very clear years ago. He said, Nathan, when that event comes, and this is part of my liberty shall be decapitated vision, when the event comes, it's going to be too late for people to pray for their children. So tell the people to pray for the safety of their children, that when this event happens, they're not separated from their kids, that their children will be protected. Doug, right there, that's a good reason for an individual, a dad or a mom who's struggling spiritually, to get right with God so that God would hear their prayers when they pray for their children, the protection. Doug, I can't emphasize how sad the nation's going to be after this event. We're going to be in a season of grief and of mourning and of shock and of hysteria and panic. I mean, throw any emotion you can that has to do with hysteria. This thing's going to happen. It's going to light the fuse of war. It's going to anger a lot of patriotic Americans to want to go to war with the Muslim nations. It's going to galvanize the patriot community, the militia. It's going to do a lot of things. It's going to divide some people against others. It's going to create more chaos here in America. It's going to make people hate one another, and mistrust will come. The TSA is going to clamp down. Homeland Security is going to go nuts. And possibly we'll see the new troops on the ground from other countries, the peacekeepers, to come in to help America recover from their terrorist attack. And out of the dust that rises from those flames, we will see the phoenix rise, but then we're going to see a Muslim presence, because that spirit of the Mahdi, of the Muslim, this demonic thing that's going to be released on the earth, will also be released in the United States. We're going to see Muslim oppression begin in America. And the oppression that we've already watched in some portions like Minnesota and Detroit and Michigan, or I'm sorry, not Detroit, but in those areas of Michigan where they have large Muslim communities, it's going to get worse. So I see the clock. I know I spoke fast, Mr. Doug, but right now is not the time to be considering that. Yes, enjoy the holidays, make memories with your families, love your children, hug your wife and your kids. But ladies and gentlemen, please get right with God, because Zechariah is going to be fulfilled. The book of Zechariah, as I stated earlier, it talks about the prophecy in the final chapter, Zechariah chapter 14, and it mentions that Jerusalem will be at war. And those of you that have your Bibles, it's 14:1. The day of the Lord is coming. The spoil will be divided in your midst. I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Doug, Obama's betraying Israel right now. The United States is leaving Israel. That's putting the target on us. So I'm going to stop there. I see the clock, and I'll let you close with your comments. But we are right now in desperate times.
Well,
and the people cannot goof off.
No, and you made it very clear. And I think that we can just hearken back to the writings of Manly Hall, The Secret Destiny of America, about the Phoenix symbol. There are so many areas that we can go back to. But what you said about Obama is particularly important, I believe, because Obama is here, I believe. His appeal, as some describe it, as messianic. In fact,
did you see Barbara Walters?
Yeah.
Say that, you know, we all thought he was going to be like the Messiah.
Well, you know, we often kid about Chris Matthews saying the tingle up his leg, but what we don't talk about is what he said right before that, that this is the New Testament in reference to Obama. And you see many references to Obama, and you see many references to the now, to the Nathan, you mentioned about the reaping of the whirlwind, and I had gone through this some time ago about this when Joe was away, about George W. Bush during his first inaugural address facing the Washington Monument, this Masonic symbol, this obelisk, and quoting that an angel rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. And several references by congressmen, senators, and politicians, including Bush, as others, have talked about this angel of the whirlwind. We have to understand the context in which you've provided your visions, your outlooks for this country. And I think right now, we're at the precipice. I think you've used prophetic quotations from the Bible. I think that we have Obama ushering in this new whirlwind, this angel in the whirlwind, which is, well, very prophetic. Just check your Bible. The prophetic context for terrorist attacks, war, future Armageddon here, is extremely relevant. And, you know, the fire in the minds of men, that have been talked about before. It's really a call for societal upheaval to usher in a new world order. And it's also a reference to the Promethean faith.
And Nathan,
this all goes back to the it all goes back to the origin of man. But
and what
Nathan,
you said about the Dome of the Rock is very interesting. And we talked about this off air, and people who might not have caught that or came in late, go back and listen to that. Pastor Paul Begley was talking about the temple and the Dome of the Rock last Friday on here, and there's some similarities there. Very interesting stuff. We're going to have you back on again soon. There's so much we didn't get a chance to get into. When you have time and we're free, we'll do this again.
Indeed. Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, God bless you, Nathan. You and your
Take
family have a wonderful Christmas.
Yes. Take care of yourself, please. Our prayers are with you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nathan Liel.
WatchmansCry.com. Bookmark that website. Sign up to the forum.
Absolutely.
Check out the audio sermons that are on there, the audio messages. They are fantastic.
Very important messages tonight if you understand the context in which they were delivered. And you know, you really have to understand the bigger picture and understand blood and understand that the blood is the key here. And I want to thank Nathan. Joe,
absolutely.
Tomorrow night,
Dave Hodges will be on with us. And I think 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, okay. And it should be a fantastic show. But again, WatchmansCry.com. Sign up for the forum there. Get together with some like-minded people. Check out the audio links. The Overcomer series. He came out with that on the 13th of December. His first audio clip is there, and it's well worth the listen. With that, we're going to have to close out. God bless each and every one of you. Until tomorrow, stay safe.